London's LBC 97.3. 0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott.
Not Ian Lee.
Oh, no.
Okay, levels all over the place, Mr. Man. This, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Every time I sit down here, I go through this. That's why I said before we came on the air, testing, level 1, 2, and you gave me a thumbs up. And a thumbs up means no, presumably. So, I should be peaking at 6. Let's walk ourselves through this. And that...
Oh, no.
Should also be peaking at 6. How are we doing? This happens every time I sit down here lately. What is going on? And that's a direct question to you, Chris.
We like to check it on the air.
Yeah, on the air. That's right. All the screw-ups on the air, where they deserve to be. So, where is he this time? Don't say I don't know.
I do know this time. He's in LA.
Is he?
Yeah.
What's he doing there? Hanging out with Posh and Bex, I bet.
Yeah, sounds like it.
That's exactly what he's doing, though, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, he's going and hanging out with David Beckham and Posh Beckham. I've never heard her called Posh Beckham, but that's her name, right?
Yeah,
yes,
well,
it must be.
No one ever calls her that.
No. Mrs. Beckham. Why is he doing that, and how is he doing that? And everybody in the world wants to go out and hang out with them too. Well, one of them, anyway.
Oh, too many questions. I only know he's gone to LA, and that's it.
Oh, come on. The guy that you work with every day turned up to work and he said, oh, by the way, I'm going and hanging out with David Beckham, and it didn't occur to you to ask any further questions. I don't believe you.
I just said wicked, didn't it?
Is that it?
Yeah.
How can you wander through life with such disinterest?
Posh and Bex don't interest me that much.
Oh, please. They're the most, orgasmically famous people in the world. As far as this country is concerned, anyway.
Why is she still called Posh? Wasn't that from, like, the Spice Girls?
Because it's shorter than Victoria. It's a three-syllable word. Posh is... plus it's sort of like tabloidese.
Quicker to type.
I'm surprised they haven't given her a word that ends in ZZA. Because everybody else, for some reason, I think there's the... We've had the Americanization of our language. Now it's the I'll make this word up. Australification.
Sounds good to me.
Well, it sounds tortured to me, but I'll go with it anyway. The Australification of our language, because they tend to give everyone names that end in ZZA. I would, for instance, be Nizza. That doesn't work at all, does it? Or they end in an O. So Abbo, that would work.
That's good. That's a good nickname.
But after having gone through we are about as Americanized as we can be in this country. We like to think that we're, or we like to pretend, we adopt the pose of being anti-American, as though it's, fashionable. You know, as fashionable as, for instance, the story that The Sun is pursuing at the moment about chopping out a few lines after a middle-class dinner party.
Yeah.
Very fashionable, they're saying, and they've got a big anti-cocaine push going on at The Sun, because I think they had an every week, because there's nothing the tabloids like more than a campaign of some sort, because it negates the actually going out and finding news, because it's just basically the one story that they can rewrite over and over and over again.
It's made up news, isn't it?
Well, not necessarily made up, but it's just a one thought thing that they can run through the whole week. And it's campaigns. Tabloid newspapers love nothing more than a good campaign, because it'll be devil dogs one week and something to do with children, always a winner, the following week, or eat yourself thin. And this time it's a cocaine. They're going out on a limb. They're actually attacking the middle class users of cocaine and saying on Monday, here, Kate Moss, here's the misery caused by Kate Moss personally.
What?
That's pretty much what they were saying. They had a picture of her on the front page saying, from the fields of Columbia to Kate Moss's septum.
Wow. The whole journey.
Yeah. To her, up her holes. Yeah, both of them. Or just the one, in the case of people who take too much of it.
Of course.
And then they have to have it rebuilt by an expert.
Hmm.
But, Yeah, so they've been banging on about that and how dreadful it all is. And, you know, the one thing that they didn't mention, which always occurs to me when stories like this come around, is might it just be the very fact that it's illegal that's causing all of these problems? Because if it were legal, if you could pop into Boots and get it, first of all, it wouldn't be very an exciting prospect.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have that frisson of danger, would it? And second, you could... if you were going to take it, you could guarantee what you were putting up your nose. It wouldn't be rat poison or vim or whatever they put in it.
And also, if it was in Boots, you know, you wouldn't want it because you'd have to queue, and people don't like queuing.
Superdrug would be doing special discounts. Yeah. So the glamour of it would disappear. Also, the villains... I'll take calls straight to air, so okay. Don't worry about faffing around with all of that. The villains wouldn't be getting any money for it. It seems like a no-brainer to me. Just take the drugs from the hands of the villains, and suddenly they won't be getting any money for it. And the people who are hooked on the stuff won't be paying through the nose, arf-arf, because it would be at a reasonable government specified price.
Yeah.
Taxed, of course. There'd be giant amounts of tax that Gordon Brown would be able to do. Well, nobody really has any idea what he does with the money. I don't think he knows himself. There was a picture of his hands in the newspapers again today.
His hands?
That is, specifically his nails. I think it's really actually scary that we're purportedly about to be run by a man who bites his nails to the point that he doesn't have any anymore. I've never seen that in a grown-up. Like, you see it in children. I used to bite my nails. Not to that extent, but I used to have raggedy nails when I was a kid, because that's just what kids do, right?
But it's better than having really long nails.
Well, no, I disagree. Really long nails are a little icky, unless you play Spanish guitar. But to have bitten your nails, literally, to the quick, such that you couldn't... even with tweezers, even get hold of the nail anymore. I mean, he's bitten them so far that you can't actually bite anymore.
But
and he's the man that's going to be, supposedly, the next Prime Minister. Don't you find that a little bit worrying?
Well, it's his little bit of stress relief, isn't it?
Stress relief?
Well, you know, being Prime Minister is a very stressful job, so...
Well, he's not there yet.
Well, he's practising.
Well, if he's that concerned before he gets the big job, what's it going to be like once he's got the job? I'm going to send him a dummy in the post, or maybe a tub of mustard, because isn't that the grand old cure for people who bite their nails? It certainly used to be. Used to paint mustard on their nails. Or how about nail varnish? Something that tastes really horrible that would put, well, the child, as it usually is, off biting their nails. He's a man who's 50-some years old and he's still doing it. That's really worrying. Is he 50?
I don't know, but you can't put mustard on Gordon Brown's nails. If he becomes Prime Minister and he has to go to, like, UN meetings with, you know, other foreign leaders, and ours is the only Prime Minister with mustard on his nails, that's not going to look too good for us, is it?
Well, you have a good point there, yes. Yeah. Smell my fingers, he'd be
exactly.
saying. Not shake my hand, smell my fingers, yeah. But equally, if he's the only world leader there who's got his fingers in his mouth, I mean, that would cause you concern as well. I mean, who can take the man seriously?
Fair point. Yeah.
Of course, this is the sort of thing you get marched into a field and forced to commit suicide, he said, waggling his fingers in the air to give the notion of inverted commas. So this will be my last show.
Oh.
Nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Let's take this first one in Croydon. Hello, you're on the air.
Treacle, pudding, Daniel Radcliffe, globule, harpsichord and penguin moo. Hey, little hen, when will you lay me an egg?
Oh, no, we seem to have run right out of time on that call.
Yeah.
Hens don't lay eggs, cows lay eggs.
E97.3 0870 9090973. Nick Abbott.
Here are the studio calls flashing up on the indicator.
Hello, Louise.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I am all right, thanks.
Good, good.
How's Barnsley?
It's all right, Sam.
Because it was a beautiful day down here, and...
Oh, it was over here.
Oh, it's absolutely...
The sun was actually out.
Fantastic. The flowers are out, the blossom is out, there was a feeling of the sap rising in the trees. It's all about to explode.
I can't wait, I love it.
Into a colourful loveliness. And what do we have to thank for that?
Global
warming. Hip hip.
Hooray. Do you know what, right? If this is the result of global warming, I think I'm going to, like, leave my car running.
Yeah, that's right. Bring it on. Never mind about leaving the TV on standby. I'm going to actually leave the car running in the driveway, yeah.
Yeah. You were sort of talking about the Americanization of, like, country sort of thing. And I don't understand why we try to be like them so much. We've even got yellow buses and we start saying things that they say, even if we don't understand it.
Well, I think the reason is because, for the longest time after the Second World War, England was a grey and rather depressing place because we'd completely run out of money. America, on the other hand, had no end of money because they'd set all their industry to making munitions and so on, and they had a workforce that wasn't as depleted as ours, and their munitions industries could quite quickly start to build things for the home, fridges and cars and such like and so on. And so they had the factories all ready to go, the money in order to make and buy, and just the very nature of the place, it was exciting and colourful and free and rich, and this was celebrated in their films, which we consumed like starving children would consume sweets thrown out of a car. Because our lives were so boring and miserable, and theirs was so colourful and lovely and exciting and exotic. And yeah. It has continued such that the American culture has completely overtaken our own. But then, I mean, if you had the choice of boiled beef and cabbage or a burger and a shake, which would you have?
A burger and a shake.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think that people still think it's cool to be American.
Well, I think it's the worm has turned, and it's almost completely the other way around now. And people think it's uncool, or they affect to believe that it's they affect to not believe. They affect to or that. Let me start again.
Oh, they pretend.
Oh, blimey! Only 20 minutes into the show, my brain's stopped. Oh well. They affect that they are negative about America, but actually we're consuming it more than yeah. we ever did. The great British dinner now is not fish and chips, it's pizza, but not Italian pizza, American deep dish pizza with tons of stuff on it. Because you go to Italy and have a pizza, for instance, it's a microscopically thin piece of bread, which has the texture of wood, with almost nothing on it at all. Whereas we actually like pizzas that are so high you can barely see the person you're eating it with over them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And so it's just because it's more and we want more. And when do we want it?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, and it is slightly worrying that Gordon Brown bites his nails so much because yeah. what he'd be worrying about.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Well, he's worrying that most of us spend, and it's, hold on to your seats, because this is a shocker, 50% of what we earn goes in direct tax. 50%! That's drawing on my vast experience of mathematics, that's almost half of what we earn goes directly to him. And what he does with it, no one has any idea. He takes it out in the back garden and sets fire to it. We haven't got a clue. And I don't think he does either, and that's what's concerning him. All this giant amount of money is pouring in, and he's throwing it at the NHS, and he's throwing it at, no clue, he's throwing it at the army. And even the most famous person in the army had to go and buy his own kit. What a giant PR misfire that was. Now, you'd think that if Prince Harry went to the army, then his induction would be faultless, that he would get all the kit that he was required and some, and then it would be spanking and new and luxurious. But no, he had to go and buy almost everything that you need to actually be an army person, which is incredible, really.
You think they'd be trying to encourage people to go in the army, seeing as though, like, he's been in the news a lot about it?
Yes, exactly. He would be an advert made in heaven, because he's one of the few royals that young people would actually like to hang out with and have a beer. I mean, do you want to have a... Does anybody want to go and have a beer with Prince Charles?
No!
No, not really, no. Harry, on the other hand, is like, he would show you a good time. So,
yeah, he's
so
normal.
To speak. Huh?
He's the most normal one out of them.
Yes, that's right. He gets drunk a lot. He has mates who get stoned. He rolls in at 5 o'clock in the morning, off his face, and, he actually looks like he's having a good time. Yeah, normal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, have you heard that version of Soaring Sky?
Well, we better not talk about that, because both of them may be advertising with us, well, and we love them both dearly. And we hope that they can, you know, join hands and work it out together in a great big media kiss fest.
That ain't going to happen, but...
It is interesting, though, two of the great titans of modern business going at it. It's like celebrity media deathmatch.
Yeah, it's about time Sky got...
Well, don't say it.
Sorry.
Just don't, don't even think it. But it is interesting. I mean, it's made the business pages readable again, eh?
Yeah, definitely. It's got me interested.
You're lying about that, aren't you?
No, it's got me interested.
Okay. And so are you watching... which ones are they low? Are you watching Lost?
Oh. Yeah.
Are you?
You don't get it, do you?
Well, I watch the first series of Lost every week, and I stopped watching it just before the series ended. In fact, on just at the beginning of the last episode of the first series, because I thought, well, I'd read in the newspaper that in America they had the second series had come back with an enormous audience, and so I thought, right, well, what they've done here is... They've strung us along with a series, with a programme, in which nothing happens. Apart from the initial programme, which was brilliant, the pilot, which was great. After that, nothing happened at all, every week. And I sat there, my life draining away from me, and I thought, there's another hour I won't get back. But I was like an addict, and I had to come back for another one. But I thought, I'm going to cut myself off and go cold turkey, because if I watch the last episode of the first series, they'll hook me into watching the second. So I thought, right, this is where I draw the line in the sand. I will only be, I won't get fooled again. You know, like The Who.
Yeah. Well, it has to be said, I thought I couldn't live without it, but I went away for a month and missed, like, 4 episodes of it, and I didn't really miss it that much.
Well, neither did you actually miss anything. No. You could miss 4 episodes and come back and still nothing's happened. They're still sitting around a campfire, looking as though they've just stepped out of a hairdresser's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Years in. I bet nothing's happened yet.
It's getting interesting, though.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been on the air? Like 2 years now? It only took them 2 years to get interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather read a book.
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't say that with a straight face.
Oh, read a magazine instead.
It's
so interesting.
Well, I'd rather look out... To be honest, I'd rather look out the window, because I feel my IQ dropping as soon as I open a magazine. Most magazines are aimed at women, and I, on your behalf, feel outraged. That,
really?
Well, yes. Perhaps outrage is a rather strong emotion. But why are they so stupid? That's my question.
I know. It's like, I was watching an advert for one of them, and it was like, oh... Guess who's lost weight? Guess who's wearing what? And it's like, who cares?
And then they turned it around, and it's not a guess who looks fabulous. It guess who looks hideously ugly.
Yeah.
Guess who we've photographed blinking? And if you photographed half blinking, it makes you look like you're drunk. And then they'll just lie about the condition that they found you in, and you know, that'll be their front page. Britney Spears. Not only is she mad, bald, fat, but she's also drunk.
Yeah, and I'm like a fish. She looks
yeah, no offence, Brittany. We really love you.
Yeah.
Dang, dang, dang. Great song.
Oh, poor Brittany. I feel quite sorry for her.
Do you?
Yeah, she's going crazy, and all we're doing is watching it.
Yeah. Well, welcome to modern-day Britain. That's right. That's what we do for our entertainment these days. We laugh at crazy people. That's what Pop Idol is all about.
Yeah.
All those crazies that show up, you know, to get shouted at by Simon Cowell. They're all nuts, all of those people. Anyway, Louise, it's been a pleasure, but I've got to go, all right?
All right, take care, Nick.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
I'm Nick Abbott. My normal position is Saturday night, 10 till 1. Ian Lee's away for a little while, and I'll be back.
Today, a pipe burst in my house.
3. Nick Abbott. 0870-9090-973.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Maureen.
How are you, Nicky?
Hey, Maureen, how are you?
Stranger.
You're stranger?
No, you're the stranger.
Okay.
I haven't spoken to you for a while, have I?
Haven't I been lucky?
You are a lucky boy. So are you fine?
I am super, Maureen. Thanks for asking.
Wonderful. I want to talk about them youngsters after school on the buses.
Oh, yeah.
Making swearing and shouting, playing music. Right. It's getting worse, isn't it?
I don't know. I'd never. I make a point of never going on the buses around school time.
Oh, you don't travel on the bus.
No. Well, yeah, every now and then, but not around school time.
Oh, well, it's terrible.
You have to be off your chump, Maureen.
It's terrible.
What with the playing? I was sitting next to somebody on the tube the other day who was. He was enjoying his own personal music, but not through headphones. He was listening to his phone as a loudspeaker.
Well, it's silly.
I couldn't believe it.
They've got headphones, haven't they?
And if they haven't got headphones, then just not... I mean, can you not go 10 yards without musical accompaniment? That's just ridiculous. I mean, he was making everybody listen to his tinny little phone playing... yo rap music.
You tell him off, Nicky.
Oh yeah, that's what I'll do. Yeah, and,
tell him off. So can you
then you can come and visit me in the hospital. Yeah,
I wouldn't. No, this is silly. You wouldn't go hospital at all. You're a strong man, aren't you?
I'd what? Just go straight to burial. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
You don't want to look twice at anybody these days because you know the papers have made you fearful of walking out your front door, let alone. Fronting someone for doing something that is, you know, not conducive to the public good.
You're nowhere safe now, anyway. Eh?
Tottenham. Specifically not in Tottenham. No, Maureen.
Well, Tottenham, they talk about South London. I mean, Tottenham's like America. It's terrible. Everybody's corrupted down there, even the police officers.
Oh, there was something interesting about police corruption, as you now you mention it. Police officers passing information to criminals are the biggest corruption threat faced by Scotland Yard. So it's not the corruption of big business or politicians or any of that stuff. The biggest corruption threat facing this country is within the police force. Isn't that incredible?
Well,
I mean, you just want to give up, don't you? Commander Sue... was speaking after a report revealed that some Met officers were associating with the criminals, taking drugs or misusing their warrant cards. The report highlights a number of police employees accused of domestic violence and sexual assaults while off duty. This is the police. It also found there are a growing number of complaints about discriminatory behaviour by police despite anti-racist training. This report was meant to be secret. Of course, everything is in this new open society. But it was accidentally released on the police authority website last week. Whoops. Are you all right there, Maureen?
Oh, no, I was listening to you.
Ah, right.
I was just fascinated from what you said to me.
Fascinating.
So, well, I missed Ian, you know.
Of course.
I thought it was Toby, the heart presenter. I thought he was filling in for him.
Who?
Toby from Heart FM.
Toby?
Yeah. Not Big Brother. Celebrity.
Toby Anstis?
Yeah.
He doesn't do this, does he?
That's what Ian was telling everybody.
Toby Anstis?
That's the one. You ask Christopher.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Toby Anstis?
Oh, yeah, Ian thought it was either going to be you or Toby Anstis.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sure. like Toby Anstis would do it for this money.
But, I bet... all I want to say is I do listen to you on your other shows, and you're wonderful. You're very laid back, aren't you?
I won't lie to you, Maureen. I'm fantastic.
I know you are. Give yourself a good pat on the back. Go on.
I'll do just that.
You know what I need, don't you?
Yes, Maureen, I do. I heard the other day, you bad woman. And I'm not going to give it to you. Not now. Not ever. Never. Here's one in Guildford. Hello, Myra. Myra?
Hello.
Myra.
Yes.
Hello, Myra.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes, I'm well, thank you. I'm just phoning because you were talking about drugs earlier and that you think that drugs should be available at the counter, and I totally agree with you.
Well, OK, here's the problem. We've been trying, as a society, to make a job of prohibition.
Yes.
For how long now? Where are we? Like 70 years, something like that.
Even longer than that, really, isn't it?
And how's that go? How is the war on drugs going, by the way?
Not going well at all, is it?
No, fabulous. And so they're trying the same thing over and over and over again. Like one of those... You know those robots now that they get to be a vacuum cleaner? Those tiny little things, and they when they reach a corner, they bounce against the wall, and then they turn round, and then they go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, well, they're never going to stop it, are they?
Well, they're foxed often by a corner because they bounce into one wall, and then they bounce into the other wall, and then they're stuck there.
Yeah,
that's what the government's like on this issue. It's stuck in a corner.
Well, you're never going to stop it, just like prostitution. So legalise both of it. You'll get rid of the pimps and the pushers. You'll make lots of tax. And at least you'll be able to control what people are taking.
Yeah, the pimps and the pushers. It's almost like an Isaac Hayes record over
Absolutely. So stop all this, you know, people buying stuff that they don't know what they're taking.
Yeah.
And legalise it. You're never going to stop it.
Now it's a Peter Tosh record.
That's been proven. So, you know, just do away with it all. And if people want to do it, then let them do it.
Here's the honest truth, that all politicians know this, but they just can't say that they know it.
Yeah.
There is no stopping people taking drugs. People have always taken drugs. As soon as we started walking upright and could reach, I don't know, what grows up high that you can get...
Nutmeg, perhaps. Well, I was going to say, let's face it, you've got this word natural out there, that we can all take something that's natural. Well, cannabis is natural. You know, and there's people out there telling you that you can't do it. I mean, I don't do any of it, I have to say. But
hey, Myra.
Yeah.
Want to score some pot?
No, I've never done it, and I never will. But at the same time, I don't see that we're ever going to stop it. So legalise it, and then you're not going to have all of this stupidity of people not knowing what they're taking, charging fortunes for it. The only people getting rich on it are the drug pushers, and. You know, let's have some sense in the world.
It'll never happen, but keep on dreaming. All right, Myra.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Ta-da. It won't ever happen because I think the business of battling against it is too big. It doesn't make any sense that you would... that if something at first doesn't work, what, just keep doing the same thing over and over and over? It just doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. Okay, we've tried something for 10 years, and it's been an absolute copper-bottomed failure. So what will we do in the next 10 years? Oh, I know. Let's do exactly the same thing that we've just proven doesn't work. It's just insane, isn't it? And they all know that it's insane. It's a truth that they can't tell us. They have to pretend that they're going to be strong on drugs and strong on the court. And by the way, I don't want to talk about drugs all night, because it's just going to be one of these, oh, yes, it is, and oh, no, it isn't conversations. And, you know, we're not going to get anywhere with it. But it's just a thought, you know. It's if what we've been doing forever and a day doesn't work, then how about doing something else? Hey, Malcolm.
Hello.
Malcolm.
Yes.
Yes, Malcolm.
Oh, I'm on. Sorry. That last caller and yourself, I didn't hear what you said about drugs. Your problem is like, a good example is Viagra. There's people died taking Viagra. But they haven't taken one, they've taken six, they've taken seven. If you legalise drugs, there's always idiots out there who say, well, if I take two of them, or three of them, or four of them, then I'll get a bit higher than last week. And you can't do that.
Well, that's Darwin. So, that's Darwinism. That's thinning out the stupid amongst us.
Well, okay.
You can't make everything illegal that's going to hurt people, because that would cut out everything.
But you can stop drugs.
No, you can't.
You can. No. I've had a discussion with children or teenagers. I said that the government said, every time we catch someone with drugs, we're going to mix something with it and you're going to die. You take it, you're dead. Straight away, no ifs, you can't run up the hospital, you're going to die. Would you still take drugs? And both the scenarios with the kids, both of them said, no, we wouldn't take it. Once a couple of people started dying, because we wouldn't believe it, we would stop taking drugs. And the only couples that did say I would carry on taking drugs both said, I would feel someone I knew or...
Yeah, all right, Michael, but how are you going to get it so that every time you take drugs, you die?
Well, when they catch people that take heroin, like heroin dealers...
What, they kill them?
Stick the stuff in the heroin and resell it on the market.
Oh, that's a great idea.
People will die, but in the end...
Government-sponsored mass murder. Now you're talking sense, Malcolm.
But people are dying anyway. People are dying every year from drugs anyway. So, yes, you've got to get people that have only taken it for the first time. But within 5 years, drugs would be really people wouldn't take drugs. People wouldn't take, for example, I'm looking at heroin. People wouldn't take it because they'd be too scared. So some people would be sacrificed, but there's people dying from drugs anyway. And the second point is, speaking to a very high policeman, if the government said to the police force, every time you raid a drug dealer's den, any cash or goods you can have, that like police station can take that, confiscate that stuff, which they're trying to do at a higher level, but the actual station could do it, like the government say, we'll have the cash, you can have the goods, and you can sell them and make money to put back into your station, then the police would start raiding more people.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I do.
The police will go, I'd come round your house, I'd raid it. You'd have
so the police would be like, would you turn the police force into a business?
Well, the police force is a business. Don't speak
no,
like that.
No, it isn't. It's not a business. No, it isn't. It doesn't make a profit.
So you're telling me that cameras aren't a business?
Well, that has nothing. That has nothing. That, as you know, has got nothing to do with the police. The councils are doing that.
Well, okay then. Okay.
But you stick by your first one. Government-sponsored mass murder. Yeah, okay. You're making a lot of sense, Malcolm. Thanks a lot, mate. This is why I didn't want to talk about drugs all night, because you just get, you know... Oh, great. Yeah, well, you know, after the first couple of 100,000 people die, then people start to get the message. Yeah. Anyway, it's 7:45, and we'll take one more call about drugs, not one. Here's Travel with Amanda Redmond.
On the M40, heading away from town, we've got a crash car. 870-90-90-973.
Correct. Let's have Vic. Oh, Vic.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Vic.
This paparazzi thing with Miss Middleton.
Kate Middleton.
Kate Middleton, yeah.
Who is Kate Middleton?
Is it Kate Middleton, the Prince William?
Oh, right.
They're chasing after all the time, aren't they? Why doesn't she... I mean, all this nonsense about it, obviously they're taking the photos for the simple reason is they get paid for it, they get the money for it. So why don't these people solve the problem by saying, right, they want to take my picture, I'll come out every morning, quarter hour early, let them all take a load of photos, right, let them all take the pictures they want to take, keep on taking them, quarter of an hour, do it for a week. They get fed up in the end, they won't get any money for them anyway, they won't come back, will they?
Yeah, but unfortunately, the magazines don't, the big money is in photographs that they don't want you to take.
Well, then why, but they're always turning up on a doorstep, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they will always do that, but they want a picture of her. Well, I suppose the big money would be a picture of her kissing some bloke who wasn't.
That's the chance of them finding that. They're always chasing her down the path, aren't they? Most of them are chasing her down the path when she comes out of their house.
I mean, I've been reading the papers every day. I haven't noticed a lot of that.
No, they were showing it on the television a little. I think it was breakfast television one morning where they were all chasing. And they were saying about it, same thing's going to happen as what happened to Diane. Well, of course, they want to try and hide themselves. Don't hide themselves, as I said. Let them keep on taking the pictures. Go out a quarter of an hour early. Just stand there. Let them take some pictures. They get fed up in the end.
No, they won't, because they'll always be following her, because they want to get her to...
Yeah, but they can only follow her so far. I mean, yeah, they want to get pictures of her, you know, as you said, I know, probably kissing someone or, you know, making a fool
drunk
of herself.
Yeah.
But, you know, the chances are they're not going to be always on that spot at that time. She's certainly not going to do it when they're about, is she? You know, she's going to be a little bit more sensible than that. I don't think she would, you know, particularly give them the opportunity to pick up a silly photo or a photo where she's acting a little, well, not daft, but, you know, a little bit younger.
All you have to do, though, is to trip up in the street, or, like I'm saying, like I said earlier on, is to blink when they're taking a photograph of you, or just to throw a funny face. I mean, we all pull weird faces during the course of the day.
I'd do that for them anyway if I was popular. I tell you, I would.
But usually there isn't somebody there to snap the second that we're doing it, and that's what the magazines are
after these days. Yeah, but as I said, most of the time, I think they're outside her house in the morning when she's coming out to work, I've noticed. That's when they were showing it on the television anyway. I mean, she's only going off to work. They're not going to be able to get into her workplace, are they? Probably there when she comes out. I mean,
I don't really see what the big deal is. I mean, what's the problem?
I really don't. I cannot... I mean, I wouldn't even... If they said, oh, she's tripped over in the street, I wouldn't go and bother about buying the paper. It wouldn't even interest me. You know?
those sort of things are not interesting to me at all.
I mean, I saw that you were talking about Kate Middleton, and I had to rack my brain as to who that was.
Yeah, sorry. So, I got that wrong.
So, I mean, she's not that much of a draw yet. One of these famous people I've never heard
of. Well, no, you don't know if anything's going to happen yet. Well, everybody's speculating about that she's going to be engaged to him, but, you know, how do you know? It can fall apart. Don't know yet.
Oh, let's be positive, Vic.
Oh, we'll be positive, but, you know, he might want to play the field for a little while, mightn't he?
All right, I think you're spending a little too much time thinking about this, Vic.
Yeah.
You want to pursue some more, manly subject. Manly pursuits, that's what you want, Vic. Go down to the pub and have a game of darts, will you? I'm deeply concerned about your future as a man.
I'll think of something else and I'll ring you back.
All right, cheers, mate. Ta-da.
Hey, bye.
Here is Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello, sir. Good evening.
Yes, how are you going?
Not too bad, thanks. Listening to what you just saying to that gentleman about the police is not a business, and it is a business. I'll tell you why. They're dishing out parking tickets now. In the city, in EC2, EC3, Lloyds of London, Old Broad Street, anywhere around there now. If you park on a yellow line for more than 2 minutes, or 30 seconds, they say, you'll have a 30-second drop-off. Anything after that, you've issued a ticket through the computer system. They've taken your photograph. There's one right on the corner of Old Broad Street where the old stock exchange used to be. And drivers pull up there all day long. This black camera turns each way, day and night. And it just photographs you, sends you a bill. I've got one from Scotland Yard, £60 fine. And I've had three of them so far. And they're all from the Metropolitan Police, not from the City of London, Council or Tower Hamlets Council, nothing like that. But
they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to.
Money making machine.
No, yeah, but they're not allowed to pocket it and go out and buy it on booze.
No. If I phoned you up and said I'm outside your office waiting for you, so you say, right, I'll come down. It'll be 2 minutes. I park up. I ain't going to drive past you and then turn around all the traffic and come back. That's what causes congestion in London.
Yeah, but you're saying it's a business, but they're not allowed to just spend it on themselves, are they? They're not making a profit to,
but they're buying more cars out of the money. They've got to produce a profit, otherwise the government can't keep giving them money all the time. They've got to make a
profit. The police doesn't have to make a profit.
They're making a profit because they're fining drivers left, right and centre in the city. That's why you don't see wardens walking around certain streets, because they don't need them, because otherwise it goes to the council. So they say, well, what we'll do is we'll put these black cameras up, Lloyds of London, there's one right opposite Lloyds of London, and it turns continuously looking for cars or lorries or delivery vans parking. That's all it does. It issues tickets. And that's all it's doing, making money for the police. The police cameras.
All right, Paul. You obviously got... You always got a bee in your bonnet about this because you've had some fines, but I seriously doubt they've got a camera there that's just outside Lloyds of London. This only function is to catch people stopping for more than 30 seconds.
Well, it's obviously to stop crime as well, but it mostly issues tickets. If a car or a van pulls up, it will turn. You'll see it turn, and it'll turn to the cap, zoom down, boom, it catches them, tickets them from the moment they park there to the moment they pull off.
And you've had how many?
I've had three.
Three, right. At first you didn't learn, and the second time you didn't learn. Have you learned yet?
I've learned now, yeah. A cost of £180.
There you go. All right. Eventually they got through to
you. It's a money-making scheme. It's an easy...
I think everybody would agree that, apart from the people who are installing these machines, that speed cameras are all about raking in money. That's not new information.
Yeah, that's true.
You hold fast there, Paul, because shortly there will be a chip in your car that where you'll be tracked from space, and every time you stray over the speed limit, no matter how many times you do it, you will be fine. You could lose your license going to the shops.
Day.
Yes.
Yeah, in a day, yeah.
Every time you do a U-turn, every time you stop too long by the side of the road, every little single thing you do that has not been okayed by the...
Highway
code, yes... Blimey, mm-hmm. I need like mental crutches on this show. What's happened to me? But every little thing you do will be tragic, like the police used to sing. All right, yeah. Thanks a lot, Paul. I've got to go.
Take care.
LBC 97.3.
Need car or van insurance for a few days?
LBC 97.3.
0870
9090 973. Nick Abbott.
Right, so what are we doing?
We're doing Jill in Forest Hill. Oh, Jill.
Hello.
Hey, Jill, how are you going?
I'm doing okay.
Doesn't sound like it.
I just wanted to say, sorry?
Doesn't sound like it. Be more positive.
I'm doing brilliantly.
There you go.
although I might not be, and this is why I called in. I couldn't get onto the Mr. Ferris's show this morning, Nick Ferrari's show this morning, about this issue. I'm absolutely horrified to hear that the government are trying to pass through, it's on its second bill, this law to allow bailiffs to break in and enter anybody's homes. All I want to say to London and the rest of the country is, if we allow this government to do this, or any government to do this to us, because it will absolutely terrify old people, and everybody actually, if we allow them to do this to us, we deserve a dictatorship in this country. End of. This should be stopped, and I hope that the national newspapers and, you know, people do think about this. It's absolutely outrageous.
I've had
off my soapbox now, but...
Have you missed any payments on bills lately?
Do you know, when I was younger, I did, and I think, poor student, there are so many vulnerable people out there, and apparently it's, you know, how regulated is this going to be? I don't trust this government, and I don't trust the law to control the people who go around call themselves bailiffs.
Oh, Jill, hang on a minute. You don't trust this government. You don't trust Tony Blair, that nice man with a big smile who goes on Richard and Judy and drops his H's. The man of the people. You don't trust Tony? I find that hard to believe.
Yes, him. And the rest of his bloody... Oh, excuse me. The rest of his team.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did you stop that?
No, but I'm going to stop you there. Jill's out of control.
LBC 97.3.
Yeah.
0870-9090-973.
Nick Abbott.
Right. So I was listening with rapt attention when the news was on just before I came on about Ken Livingstone announcing the tremendous results of the extension of the congestion charge zone. After all the cameras that they put up, the amount of money that must have cost, because they're not, it's not like Kodak throwaway cameras, they must be thousands of pounds each, right? Now, on these giant gantries, there's dozens of them, bristling with them they are. All of the road painting, that must have cost a fortune as well. You've got to close the roads down, and then you've got 10 blokes leaning on a shovel, having a fag, deciding which sandwich they're going to have. And the general grief that all that must have cost, and the inconvenience to us all, and the upset to the retail trade, and all of that resulted in 13% less traffic. And I thought, is that it? And he's talking about it like it's a great success.
But that 13% is only, what, since it started?
Yeah.
What, the extension bit?
Right.
So...
Does that also include the weeks when school was in half-term, when you'd think it would go down by 13% anyway, which is why they started it when they did, because the news organisations are only interested for a short period of time. So when it starts, on the day that it starts, all the TV news people will have somebody stationed in the middle of the road, as though that increases the breadth of our knowledge, you know. But it's all about pictures, so they'll send someone out to some choking corner somewhere, and they'll report back. Well, what can they report back? They usually say, oh, well, it's much less busy than normal. How on earth do they know? Are they normally standing on that corner at that time in the morning? So they're just making it up, right? And so on the first day, massive media interest. So they want to start it on a day when there's going to be less traffic anyway.
Yes.
Which is, to me, that's cheating. That's tantamount to lying, that is.
Oh, that's very, very clever planning.
Sneaky, yes. All right, not lying, sneaky. Same thing.
Is it the same?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And so they can announce that it's a tremendous success, where, in fact, you get exactly the same amount of traffic anyway, because it's half-term.
Yeah, but it's only 13% since it started, and it's only been, like, a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah. You know,
we've got to give it a chance.
Well, isn't it the case that it starts, and then people start, and then the amount of traffic creeps back up again? It's in the original congestion zone. Mm. I don't think it's the case that fewer people than initially were put off.
Right.
Are using it now. I think it's more people than initially were put off, because I can remember back when the congestion zone first started, they had cameras on normally congested roads, and you could drive a herd of buffalo down there without losing one. There was so little traffic.
Okay.
Nowadays, not quite the same. In fact, nowadays, it seems to be back choked as we used to be, right? It's just that we're paying more to sit there.
Yeah. Okay.
Why? So and I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because people will ditch their cars and think, okay, I give in, I'll use public transport. And then they go and use public transport, and their immediate reaction is... Because it's a nightmare out there, particularly going to work first thing in the morning. I'm so glad I don't have a proper job.
Mm.
Because on the occasions that I do, in my other job, where I play loud rock music...
Rock and roll!
I occasionally start at 9 o'clock in the morning, which is my least favourite shift, because you have to fight with everybody else. And you know why people look like death first thing in the morning? Because they have to go through this giant trial. It's hideous.
Do you go on a tube?
Yeah. Oh. What, you mean with my advanced level of fame? What do you mean, do I go on the tube? Of course I do.
Well, you might, I don't know, go on a bus, or... I was just establishing which mode.
Yeah. The underground mode.
Okay.
Awful it is. Stuck with... it's just... Well, everybody knows what it's like, because everybody has to do it. They've got no choice, apart from the people who are well off enough to have a choice. And once sampled, you never want to sample it again. If you have the option to drive in, and you don't mind spending £8 and you can afford that, you're going to do it, because you're cosseted in your own little environment. You're sitting in a comfortable seat that's not got chewing gum on it, and you haven't got your face in somebody else's armpit. And if you are delayed, then you're sitting down while you're delayed.
You've got your radio, you've got your CD player, you've got your own heating control.
You can adjust yourself without anybody seeing.
You can eat and drink.
What, that early in the morning?
Yeah.
Really?
Booze. Wow. You know, whatever.
Yeah, you keep an emergency stock of booze in the glove compartment for, you know, traffic jams and so on.
And guests.
Of course, who doesn't? Guests. Well, I mean, for people who just drop in, while you're crawling along at 5 miles an hour,
Window cleaners.
Yeah. So, no wonder that started to creep up again, because when it first came in, people thought, right, okay... all right, Ken, you win. I will try the bus and the tube. And you try it, and you might get a few journeys which aren't that bad. But then you'll come across at least one a week where you'll arrive on the tube station first thing in the morning, early.
Yeah.
Like this happened to me. Early I arrived, half an hour earlier, in order to have an easier trip in to work. And you arrive on the platform, and it's chock-a-block with people, and your heart sinks because you know there's some sort of disaster up the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter that you arrived half an hour early, you're going to be at work half an hour late.
Yeah.
And one of those will convince you to get back into your car and just pay.
Yeah, stop being tight and pay $8.
Yes, exactly. So until they sort that out, which they never will because there's nothing they can do about it, then people will continue to use their cars.
So that 30%, you think it'll go down more?
Well, you slurred a bit there. It's not 30, it's 13.
13, right.
Well, to me, that's a big deal. That's like, so what? I mean, you probably get a 13% reduction on a Friday.
Yeah.
Before a bank holiday.
And also, 13% reduction in a congestion zone now, which is even bigger.
Yeah.
It's not that
It's meaningless.
Noticeable.
Yes.
But a 13% pay rise would be nice.
That's true.
It is. It's a meaningless statistic, because how did they come up with that? What did they count all of the cars going in on the Friday before it started, and then no, I don't believe that for a second. And whether it's statistically significant or not, statisticians will know what I mean, or it's just a blip, or they just made it up. I'm not convinced.
We'll never know.
Here is a charmingly named person called Beatrix. Beatrix.
Hello.
Hello, Beatrix.
Hi. I'm a bit nervous because I've never phoned anybody on the radio before.
Well, I'll talk you through it. Let's have a few pleasantries before we get into the meat of it, shall we? How are you, Beatrix?
I'm fine. I'm just standing in the kitchen washing the dishes and listening to your programme and thinking how interested it is. And I just thought about something I'd read in the newspaper today, which I think it's very controversial, actually, and I'd like to know what other listeners think about it.
Which paper was that?
It was the Daily Mail.
Ah, were they making you fearful of leaving your house?
No, no, they were, I'll tell you about it, it's, a group of scientists have discovered, these are top scientists employed by the government.
Oh, no.
And they've discovered that bad behaviour in teenagers is beyond their control, yeah. i.e. the teenagers.
Yeah, I saw this over the weekend, yeah.
Because the prefrontal key cortex is not developed in teenagers, and that controls feelings and empathy and emotions. And it doesn't develop in teenagers until they're much older people. So, you know, I can think back to when I was a child, and I used to do some horrible things. I remember, you know, teasing a little old lady in the house next door to me, because her name was Mrs. Sidebottom, and I thought it was a hilarious name.
It is.
So I used to whisper her name behind bushes and tease her about it.
Aww.
I've been very, very
Beatrix.
Unhappy about it. And I had a sister who used to pull the legs off spiders.
Oh, yeah, well, we all did that.
Well, I did. I didn't feel any emotion about that.
Daddy Long Legs was always a favourite because the legs would come off so very easily. And then, of course, as the cherry on the cake, you'd pull their wings off last.
Oh, yes, yes.
So they'd
be, my half-sister used to do it. That's what, and then throw them out the window, the body out of the window.
Oh, well, that's going a little far, Beatrix.
Well, it didn't matter.
That's psychopathic behaviour, that is.
Well, I think she was a bit psychopathic. She died. I can't believe that this can be true because doesn't this cancel out parental responsibilities? You know, if the children are bad, they'll say, oh, well, their key cortex, or whatever it is, prefrontal key cortex, hasn't developed, so they can't help what they're doing.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's part of the no one is prepared to accept responsibility for what they do. And so scientists can investigate this until they're blue in the face. However, you know that when you were a kid and you did something naughty in the classroom, even if you couldn't help yourself, you would get thrashed to within an inch of your life, and then you wouldn't do it again, whether or not your frontal cortex was telling you not to or not.
It's not just that, though. It's a bit more serious than that. It's not feeling sad. I have a friend who is a supply teacher, and the children in her class are drive her to distraction, and they don't seem to care when she breaks down in tears.
No, I would imagine that's what they're going for.
But you see, not all the children are like that. So why? I mean, and the other children who are kind and nice, they haven't got this developed cortex thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that those scientists need patting on the head and showing the door. It's just part of that. Like I was saying, it's that no one's prepared to accept responsibility for their actions, and parents and the society now has come to the point where children are able to do anything they want because they're their little,
yes.
they're little babies, and so they must be accommodated in every way, and that's that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem that the Mail highlights on a daily basis. Don't leave the house, Beatrix. It's not safe out there, all right?
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Nice talking to you.
Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
This is LBC. Oh, here we go. Travel with Nikki Selman.
Thank you very much for starting out on the M40. If you're heading...
70-90-90-973. Nick Abbott.
I don't know if you're a detective or a pervert.
Your guess. Dion.
Hello, mate.
Hey, Dion.
Yeah, not bad. I'm just sitting here waiting.
Just having a fag?
No, I'm not.
Oh, right. Well, you want to think about it. They're very relaxing.
Why, do you smoke yourself?
No, I don't. Never have. Well, I did once when I was a kid at school, you know, hanging out with the lads, trying to look hard. And I'm glad that I never...
Oh, really?
It was like pouring Drano down my throat. I never enjoyed it, and I'm glad...
Yeah, I'm just waiting till 4 in the morning.
Till 4?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I'm going to Peru.
You're going to Peru at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to tell us more?
Well, it's what I do for a living.
Go to Peru?
Yeah.
You go to Peru for a living?
No.
Import, export, anything like that?
No, not at all.
Yes? Dion, have you got the radio up? Because it will scramble your brain. You're listening to what you said 7 seconds ago, and you'll...
All right, I'll turn it off.
There you go. Take all the time you need. It's a live show. I think he needs a cab ride to the radio. It's taking so long. Is it in another building? Perhaps it has a very complicated volume knob. Oh, he's back.
Right, Nick.
Hey, Dion.
Yeah. That's better.
Can you think clearly now?
Yeah.
The rain is
gone. No, but I'm going to Peru in the morning.
Yeah, you're going to Peru in the morning. At 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I've got to wait for Bryce Norton to open up.
Bryce Norton? Is that where you're going from?
Yeah.
Is that, what, EasyJet, is it?
No, it's not.
Bryce Norton opens at 4 o'clock in the morning.
The plane's not ready.
Oh, right. What, they're waiting for some moist wipes, are they? Complimentary peanuts, something like that.
No, not at all, Nick.
You're not being very forthcoming, Dion. Do you want me to drag it out of you? You're going to Peru at 4 o'clock in the morning from Bryce Norton. Okay.
Yeah.
With you so far. And what are you going to do there? Sightseeing?
No.
Antiques?
No.
What on earth would you do in Peru, leaving from Bryce Norton?
I work for MI6.
MI6, yes, of course you do, because people who work for MI6 come on the radio and tell everybody that they do that, yes, with you.
No, they do.
Mm-hmm. MI6, right. Well, what's the difference between MI6 and MI5? I can never remember.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
One works in England, one works abroad.
Right, which is which?
MI6 work abroad.
Right, so you're with MI6.
Yeah, on a MI5 work in England.
You're on a top secret mission that you want to tell us all about.
No, it's not. It's only what's in the papers.
What's that then?
I can't go that forward.
Oh, Dion, it's in the papers. Go ahead, give us a clue. What does it start with?
I.
Ingots. You're going to Peru to buy some ingots.
No.
You're going to Peru to buy some iridescent paint.
No.
You're going to Peru to buy... I can't think of anything else. Only those two things begin with I. Ingots and iridescence.
Well, it's to do with a country called I.
I thought you were going to Peru.
Yeah, but...
Peru does not begin with I.
I know that.
Can I have a P, please, Bob?
You know, it...
Just one question, Dion.
Pardon?
One question. I have a query.
Go on, then.
What are you talking about? Too complicated a question?
No, not really.
Is it that you're, tired from a pre-flight check?
No.
All right, here's another one, Dion. Why did you call?
Because I was tired and lonely.
Tired and lonely. Right.
Yeah.
Is it because you live a fantasy life?
No, I don't. My son was 21 yesterday.
Right. Well, that would make you...
And I'm a single parent.
Tired, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, best of luck in Peru, Dion.
Okay, then, mate.
Let's hope that it's a return ticket, or not, as the case may be.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, that's
I'll
excellent.
Listen to the rest of your show, anyway.
All right, thanks, Dion.
All right, then.
Ta-ta, mate.
Bye.
Bye-bye, cheer up, it might happen. Here's one in Crouch End. Oh, Chris.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Chris.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, it's the argument lady. Hello. How are
you? Hello. Yes, talking... That man was talking about the Secret Service. It just made me think of Elizabeth I. You know, that was, what, 400 years ago? She had a wonderful Secret Service, you know, because there were so many attempts made on her life, and none of them succeeded.
Hmm.
It's amazing, isn't it? And anyway, what I phoned up was about different countries. Isn't it wonderful that we have so many different countries throughout the world with so many different languages?
Yeah, it's a great big melting pot.
It's
big enough to take the world and all it's got.
But not melting pots. The
Stir
fact
it
that
for 1,000 years or more.
People shouldn't be melting in the pot. No, it's good to have different languages.
Coffee-coloured people by the score.
And different countries. And I don't believe in all this globalisation. I mean, it's not natural globalisation.
What do you mean?
Well, it's not. You know, I mean, you can't have one country controlling the whole world. That's not natural.
That's not globalisation.
Well, what is globalisation?
I think it's everyone trading with everybody else. It's the whole world has become a small village because of the advance in communications and travel.
No, I mean, the whole world has always traded with... Countries have always traded for thousands of years with other countries.
Yeah.
But and the whole world is not a small village. The whole world is a vast area. It's an oxymoron. How can the whole world be a small village? A small village, you know, well, we had them in England. You know, well, we still have some, fortunately.
Yeah, when I said a small village, I didn't actually mean a small village. But never mind. You can nail me to the floor with that one if you like.
No, I don't want to nail anybody to any floor. But what I'd like to talk about also is that, you know, people have tried to unite the countries in the world. I mean, it was tried with the Tower of Babel and it failed. Napoleon tried, he failed. Hitler tried, and guess what? He failed.
It's like watching the History Channel isn't it?
You know, history is so wonderful, because you know what? History has a habit of repeating itself. Charlemagne, he tried, he failed. So I don't believe in any EU. I don't approve of any UN. I believe that each country should have the autonomy to rule itself. And then we could have the laws and keep the laws in this country. For example, the lady earlier was talking about bailiffs. Do you know that since 1300, people have had the right to resist people coming into their homes? 700 years. What a wonderful freedom. Don't you agree?
Where are you going with this? This is, blimey, you need a roadmap to figure out where you're going with this, Chris.
No, it's No, you don't need...
First you're talking about globalisation, and now you're talking about bailiffs banging your door in.
Because it's all connected. I mean, ID cards. You know, Hitler brought in ID cards. You know, ID cards, it's control. You know, all this, you know, it's funny how people say, oh, we can't stop drugs, we can't stop this, we can't stop that. But they can stop people parking on yellow lines. They can stop people doing the things that they want to stop, but the things that they don't want them to stop, they just let them carry on. But basically, I'm a patriot of this country. And I believe in each country should not have some person telling them what to do, forcing them what to do. Each country should make their own laws, like we have made, as I said, for hundreds of years, which have served this country and its citizens well. I mean, as I say, Elizabeth I didn't get bumped off, you know, and she didn't have, there weren't any computers, there weren't any mobile phones in those days, but she had very loyal, patriotic people to protect her. And take Germany in the Second World War. Germany was trying to conquer this country. Well, it's doing it by another way now. It's still trying to conquer this country. Germany.
Oh, you're losing the will to live here.
Oh, but isn't it wonderful that if we learn history, at least we will know what's going on, rather than being entertained by bread and circuses. I'm not losing the will.
Bread and circuses.
Yes,
that sounds great. I could go with a piece of toast and an acrobatic show right now. What's
well,
wrong
you,
with...
can, you can look forward to it when you finish your show. But, I mean, people shouldn't be so entertained, in quotes, that, and watching these, you know, TV shows, that they're not getting out their history books, because history is repeating itself. What happened in Nazi Germany, you know, through the through Hitler's tried unification of Europe, is happening now through the EU. And that's truth is stranger than fiction. Who needs soaps when you've got real-life history repeating itself, which it has done since Charlemagne,
Lord,
900.
Chris.
Yeah, hello, yes?
Chris.
Yes?
Take a breath.
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't know what you're breathing in now, but exhale, quickly.
Nice London air, as pure as it can be.
Pure as the driven slush.
Yes, but
Chris,
stop.
Just stop.
But history is wonderful.
Stop banging on about history. Oh, Struth.
Available on DAB BC 97.3.
I'm listening, dear. You can talk to me.
Here is one in Kenley. Hello, Tony.
Hello, mate.
Tony.
I think I've given up will to live after the last two calls. Anyway.
Yeah.
I won't go any further than that. But, no, what I was actually bringing up about was, Jonathan Ross and Ian Wright have been going on about the lack of black people presenting on the BBC.
Yes.
And I've got a theory why that is. It's nothing against black people. It's that I think that they must only advertise for positions in the Scottish press, because I don't know if you ever noticed, but in particular blonde Scottish weather forecasters that need orthodontic treatment. They've got so many Scottish weather forecasters on there, and they all, the women sort of talk a bit like Cliff Richards. My name's Cliff Richards. They all do that. So I don't think it's anything against black people. I think they just have got a preference for Scots.
Okay, I'll look into it, Tony. Thanks a lot, mate.
Bye.
Ta-da. That's that woman is the Scottish weather person on the BBC Breakfast News. It always seems to me like she's presenting the news for babies. Just the way she talks, it's like she's one of these people who. She's just so gritting all the time, and it's all just sort of like, it's all in the back of her throat, and it's all pushed out like this.
What's her name?
I think it's, I can't remember, is it, I don't know, I watch her every morning, and during the course of the BBC Breakfast News, I'm always shouting at the television, because they're always doing something.
Oh, is she the one who's always outdoors?
Yeah, that's right, they stick her in a garden, as though to demonstrate what weather looks like.
Yeah.
Completely unnecessary, and costs us a giant amount of money, because to do something outdoors costs a lot more than just to stick her in the studio with everybody else. But, you know, we're paying for it, so they don't care. So they stick her in a garden, or they take her to Plymouth, or wherever it is that weather's happening, in order to show us what wind looks like. For why? No one has any idea.
At least we know what the weather's like where she is.
Exactly, yes. But she's got this grinning thing going on, as though she's presenting a children's party. It's just, it's so irritating, like, what? As though she's talking to five-year-olds. Really? Like that. It's like, oh, God.
Well, you don't want a miserable weather presenter, do you?
Well, there's a difference between miserable and sort of off-your-head happy. I mean, that's like, she would need hospitalisation if she got any happier than that. Really? Like that. It's like, coochie-coochie-coo.
Well, maybe she knows that she's about to give a nasty weather report. What? Just softening the blow.
Well, lately it's been lovely, hasn't it? Has it not been lovely lately?
It has been lovely.
See?
Lately.
Well, then she should drop the grin. It's infuriating. That whole that whole programme is infuriating. I tuned in the other day. They were doing something so utterly ridiculous. I almost dropped my porridge. I couldn't believe what they were doing. I forgot. I think I've
was it indoors or out?
I blocked it from my mind. It was something that was so daft. It was the silliest thing I've ever seen on a news programme. Hmm. They're forever blue petering up the show. It's not enough to talk about football. They have to dress that silly gnomic person that presents the sports in comedy football attire and go and have him pretend to play football for our amusement. It's supposed to be a news programme, and this is what they were giving us. It's incredible that Sky News is more intelligent than the BBC News. I mean, how on earth did that happen?
But the BBC breakfast show is not, it's not a news programme anymore. It's just called BBC Breakfast, isn't it? It's not BBC Breakfast News.
Well, I don't care what they call it. It's a news programme. It is. Absolutely.
And they're always trying to tell you about TV shows that are coming out later in the day, too.
Well, that's...
So one big long advert for later on tonight.
Cross-promotion. Well, that just makes sense. I mean, I don't have much of a problem with that. But if they... Can they be a little less silly? I mean, I want my news done straight. I don't want it presented by comedians or people who think they're funny.
Well, then don't watch GMTV.
You know what? I haven't. It doesn't even occur to me to put on GMTV.
What?
Is that still going?
Yeah, it's only two numbers away.
Well, not on the Sky Dish, it's not.
Isn't it?
Well, see, 501 is Sky News, and then 503 is the BBC News.
Right.
Whereas ITV is 103. A full, over 400 channels away.
Oh, you lost me already.
Yeah. No, so no is the answer. No, I don't. Who's doing that now?
Hmm?
Who's doing GMTV? Who's on GMTV? Is it Pip Schofield?
No,
It's Fiona, isn't it?
Is she?
Yeah.
No, she's gone.
She's still there.
Fiona who?
Fiona Phillips. You know, the blonde one who just laughs a lot.
And no.
Eamon Holmes went. I know he
Yeah, Eamon Holmes is, has parked his giant bottom on Sky News now.
Oh, yeah.
On a programme that he hardly ever shows up for.
Really?
Well, yeah, they've just done this big push where he's just started, I don't know if it's new or not, but they were advertising it like it was new. And I thought, well, yeah, aren't you supposed to always be on that show? And every time I tune in, he's not there. What a fantastic contract he must have. I think it must have been in his contract that he shows up for the next couple of weeks because they've just been advertising it. But I bet you in a couple of weeks' time, you'll tune in and he'll be on holiday again.
He's getting warmer.
Here is Philip in South Norwood. It's Mr. Lister.
Good evening, Nick.
How are you going?
Very well. You wanted to know who does breakfast on the BBC, did you say?
No, I was thinking of breakfast on GMTV.
Oh, GMTV, according to Radio Times, which I've got in front of me. Andrew Carson and Fiona Phillips.
Andrew who?
Wasn't he a tennis player, wasn't he?
Oh, he's the guy who looks like a mannequin.
Yeah. I don't watch it, so I'm only, I don't know what it says in there, and
he looks as though someone has fed into a computer statistics on how men are to produce a handsome man.
Yeah.
And a computer's just spit out this plastic model of what a handsome man must look like.
Yeah, it seems a lot of them are so bland, don't they?
Well, I think they do that for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do bland for a living over there, yeah.
The reason I rang, Nick, when you've been abroad, have you ever bought a lottery ticket in a foreign country?
No.
And then got home and found it was a winner?
No.
Well, it happened, I don't know if you remember, I phoned up from Toronto, where I was in Toronto in December.
Oh, yeah.
And I bought $2-3 lottery tickets as Christmas presents for friends. Yeah, I know I bought them other things as well.
Oh, I'd hope so, yeah. Yeah,
I bought them deal, no deal, scratch-off lottery tickets, $3 each.
Deal or no deal?
Yeah.
They've got that over there as well.
Over there it's hosted by a well-known actor cum comedian, but called Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel?
Yeah.
Well, it rings a bell.
He was in St. Elsewhere, the hospital series.
No.
Anyway, so I bought these tickets, brought them home, gave them to them at Christmas time, and they scratched them off. And what it was, they had to scratch off these suitcases, and what they were left with, they won. You see? And at the moment, it could have gone either way. They could have won $75,000 or $3.
Let me guess.
Yeah, you've got it. They both won $3.
$3, yeah.
So I paid them out.
You paid them?
I paid them out, yeah. I gave them £1.50 each, took the tickets off them, and I thought to myself...
Hang on a minute. They both won $3.
I bought them a ticket each, Nick.
Yeah, but they both won $3.
Yes.
Well, that's six.
That's right, yes.
But
yes,
you gave them...
I paid them £1.50 out in English money.
Oh, okay, because, it's
$2
to the
pound. Well, I worked it out as
$2
to the pound.
So just
I got them,
sure.
I was looking at the other day, I thought, what am I going to do with it? And it had a address in Sault Ste. Marie in Canada, the Ontario Lottery Commission.
Why did you pay it?
Well, I thought to myself, it's Christmas, isn't it? I mean, I thought it would be the thing to do.
Well... The whole point of a lottery ticket is that they pay it.
I know, but this is what I'm coming to. So, anyway, what I did is I sent the tickets off to the Ontario Lottery Authority in Sault Ste. Marie. And I had a letter back today, and inside was a cheque for $6.
Which it'll cost you £6 to change in the bank.
I've been down the bank this morning, and the woman behind the counter couldn't stop laughing when I told her the story.
Oh, wait a minute. Was there a queue behind you?
No. I had to go to a special window. I think I went to the foreign currency window.
Well, and above the window it said, people with stories to tell. Yeah.
Well, not exactly that badly, but I told her the story. She said, well, she gave me a bit of paper. She said, we can't tell you exactly how much you'll be put in your account, she said. But she said, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
So I worked it out. I think I'm probably going to get about £3.40.
Or
a variation of that, you know.
I think it'll end up, you'll owe them money.
Yes, probably, Nick. That'd be the thing.
I used to buy a lottery ticket every single week for
in
a year.
In the UK?
Yeah, for a year.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I won £10 once.
Wow. That's the main one, was it, Nick?
Yeah.
The main one, yeah.
And mentally,
the Euro one
there. It's always a fight with you. And mentally, I had spent the jackpot every single week, down to the last penny.
Wow. Because I gather, you're always talking about it, I think Steve Allen wins quite regularly.
He's got all the money in the world. What does he want to play the lottery for?
I think he tells people that he's got it on his text machine. If he wins, they text him and tell him that he's won, but they don't tell him how much he's won.
Right.
They just send him a winner alert. So, I mean, if he wins millions, I don't know what sort of text he'd get. But,
I get the opposite. I get a loser alert.
I think everybody in here... Oh. Hello?
Yeah, your turn.
Oh, I didn't know whether I'd been...
Disappeared.
Yeah. I was funny enough, Nick, finally, if I may...
Yeah, and in closing.
Yeah, and in closing, I was looking through my book, and you know on the Underground in the morning...
What book?
You know, the question book.
The what book?
The book with all the questions in.
What book with all the questions in?
You know.
I
the
don't.
Daily Mail Answer the Correspondence. How many tube
what?
Trains, Nick, are running at any one time during the rush hour on the London Underground?
Six.
Well, no. No, it says here, this is a few years ago, the usual number of trains on the system during these periods is 460.
Right, any of them moving?
And it says each train is carrying 1,000 people.
All of whom are really upset and hot and sweating and smelly and late, yeah.
It's getting that way on the trams in Croydon now.
They've got trams in Croydon?
Oh, yes. You'll have to come down here.
Yeah, I absolutely will, yeah.
See the sights?
Yeah, straight away. I'll be at your door before you know it. Thanks a lot, Philip. Cheers, mate. Ta-da.
Okay.
Let's go with Betty. Hello, Betty.
Betty in Dartford.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, I've never spoken to you before.
Wow, I've been on a lucky streak.
Yeah. I just told Chris, I ring Ian every night, and I just told Chris, I thought you sounded quite intelligent. I told Chris off for putting on that ghastly Christine.
The argument
you
lady.
Had history tonight.
Yeah.
You didn't have the Bible. Oh, it's... She just goes on and on. Talk about boring.
Yeah.
I don't know why they put her on. Everybody rings in and's fed up with her.
It. I think it kills a lot of time.
Well, like you, I've never, ever watched GMTV.
Yeah.
Never.
Why's that?
Well, I never put it on till 1 o'clock to the news. And then I always come to bed early because I'm disabled and housebound.
When you're eating breakfast?
I can't eat. I can't chew or swallow. I have everything liquid.
You can't swallow?
No.
You can't swallow?
Not food.
Right. But when you're having whatever it is you have for breakfast?
Yeah, oat cereal.
But,
No, I don't put any news or things on.
Right, just, okay. You have to have it in silence.
I have your LBC.
Oh, right. Well, of course, LBC.
O'clock in the morning.
That's right.
In bed.
Yeah, why not?
And then I always come to bed early so that I can have you listen to you at night.
It sounds like a plan, Betty.
Yes.
Thanks a lot for giving us an insight. All right.
Yes.
And best of luck
and
with...
I think you don't like football.
I do like football.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, sorry to break the news to you, but yeah.
It's not played today like it was years ago.
No, good
when
job
I used
too,
to
eh?
Go to Highbury when I was 14. That's 70 years ago.
Well, that was proper football, you mean?
That was what with Bastin and the Compton brothers.
Right. Well, you know more about it than I do, that's for sure.
Yeah, because my grandfather played for them when they started in the Woolwich Arsenal. And with all the guns, that's why they were called the Gunners.
But these days, I want it in high definition and stereo, all right, or I'm not watching it. So thanks a lot, Betty. I've got to go, all right?
Yes.
What a nice lady. This is LBC 97.3. Here's Travel with Nikki Selman.
Thank you very much. We're starting out on the M40, if you're... 0870
90 90 973. Nick Abbott.
You're wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself.
Now, there's a high-low auction which is going on at the moment, and it is for a TomTom Go 510. And I was using one of these things just this afternoon, and they have got to be the greatest step forward in transport technology since the automatic transmission. They are great. At the end of the street, turn right. How can you fail to get where you want to go? Of course, it's... it does mean that I don't ever think about where I'm going at all. And so if it broke down, I would never be able to find my way to anywhere because it just it's another part of my brain which shuts off. I swear, I could drive asleep the amount of attention I pay when I'm driving along the road.
You're not taking in the surroundings?
Not really, no. What, looking out the window, you mean?
Yeah.
Not really, no.
You're looking at the screen, aren't you?
Most of the time I'm looking at the screen, yeah, because it's a TV.
You're seeing if the road is the same shape as the road.
Exactly, yes. If it's banking a little bit to the right, then you're checking the screen to make sure that it's banking a little bit. And always is. How do they do that?
It's clever, isn't it?
Well, anyway, one of these fantastic machines are part of the high-low auction on at the moment. You have till 11:30 tonight to make the lowest unique bid. So, really, you could get this thing for 1p. It's amazing, isn't it? So it's the lowest unique bid that wins these auctions, and that's the lowest bid in pence that is not matched by any other bidder at the end of the auction. So here's how you bid. Get a mobile phone and text LBC, followed by a space, and then your bid in pence to 88821, which is a very small number, but modern technology has improved to the extent that you can contact us by just using those four numbers.
I want to get a mobile number that long as well.
88821, wouldn't that be great?
It'd be fantastic.
I mean, I wonder what the Queen's number is.
Would she have a mobile?
Think she doesn't have any money, does she? So, I wonder what her credit rating's like. Does she have a mobile?
She wouldn't have a mobile.
Well, presumably not. She's got a bloke with a mobile.
Yeah.
She's got a mobile bloke. Who follows her around all the time. Excuse me, Mom, you've got an incoming call.
Handy.
It'll be someone who's trying to get her to change her broadband supplier. What if she pays for any of that stuff? Do you think that she just gets everything free? I mean, does she actually have a phone bill, do you think? Or do they just comp her?
Well, if you had a business, wouldn't you... And the Queen, you know, the Buckingham Palace approached you for some free broadband for the Queen. Wouldn't you just say, oh, go on then?
Well, that's what that whole by-appointment thing was all about. So they could get stuff for free, wasn't it?
Well, and you get a crest in return.
Yeah. Harrods were forever... I'm not sure this is actually... All right, I'll take that back. A shop... I've read that a shop in London...
Oh, yeah.
Which was on the Buckingham Palace's speed dial. They'd say, oh, we've run out of milk. Can you bike some milk over?
Mm.
And so they'd do that. You know, the smallest little things, of course, because it's Buckingham Palace, they'd just run it right over. And they would never pay their bill.
No.
Because it's us, you know.
Of course.
And so they got a little bit upset about that, and they started shouting at each other, and...
They don't shop there anymore.
Apparently not, no.
They go to Tesco's.
In whichever shop it is I'm talking about. Yeah. Tesco's. The Queen does not shop in Tesco's, nor does she eat McDonald's. Even though pictures of her driving up in her gigantic Rolls Royce to a drive through in McDonald's were printed just the other day, because Prince Charles said... That was a literal quote.
Oh, wow.
He was banging on about McDonald's, wasn't he? Did you read about that?
I did not read that.
Oh, do you pick up the paper around here? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Prince Charles was some sandy country, and he said, have you managed to ban McDonald's, because that's the key to childhood obesity? And the Daily Telegraph unhelpfully printed a table with the nutritional content of a Big Mac compared to the nutritional content of one of Prince Charles' Duchy of Cornwall fabulous orgasmic pasties.
Oh, yeah.
And it failed on every level. It had more fat, it had more carbohydrate, it had more sugar, it had more salt, it had more... I've run out of things with it being such a table. But on every count, it was worse than a Big Mac.
So you went to McDonald's to apologize?
So Charlie can, no, apparently not, no. Charlie can take his pasty and stick it.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, that's right. so you can text LBC, followed by a space, and then your bid in pence to 88821. So if you want to bid 49p, for instance, text LBC space 49 to 88821. Are you getting it yet?
Nearly.
Bidders must be 16 or over. Bids cost £1.50 plus your standard network rate. Bids are limited. You can see our website for full details, lbc.co.uk. Terms and conditions on there. So it's TomTom Go 510. And that's one of the very best machines, isn't it? I've just got one of the cheaper ones because, you know, I'm not made of money. And they're brilliant. Because, you know, faffing around with maps and books and A to Zs and... Who can do that anymore? Particularly when you're driving. Very difficult reading and driving and listening to the radio and adjusting yourself and picking your nose all at the same time.
But you prefer looking at a TV screen.
I've only got the two hands, yeah. So something has to give, you know. Yeah. Either I do the entire journey in first while I'm juggling all of these other things, or, you know, one at least one of them's got to go. So I bought one of these things and it's flat out brilliant. And you can get one of the top of the range things, a TomTom Go 510. Text LBC followed by a space and then your bid in pence to 88821. And it's the lowest unique bid what wins.
Hello, I'm 87.3.
0870 90 90 973.
Nick Abbott. Well, hello, it's all my little friends with all their little dreams.
Brixton, hi, Charlie. Oh, sorry, I have to fade you up. This is always, I haven't done this before. Charlie!
Hi, Nick!
Hey, Charlie, how's it going?
Hi, it's good, yeah. I wanted to talk to you about the importance of satellite towns around London and how they're often underestimated.
In what sense?
Well, for instance, places like Clapham and Brixton, obviously I'm going through now, and places like Slough, people often give them a lot of stick, but I actually think there's a lot to be said for these places, and because people dislike these kind of places... they're often full of good people, because the people that slag them off don't go there.
Okay, sell Slough to me. I double dare you.
Well, Slough has many benefits. I mean,
yes?
As you were talking about Tesco's a moment ago, Slough has the biggest Tesco's in Europe.
Okay.
There's also the Slough Trading Estate, which is home to multinational corporations. And, obviously, the Office filmed around here as well. So, you know, Ricky Gervais and his team obviously appreciated the area as well. And,
you're drowning here, Charlie.
Well, in Slough, there are two great shopping centres, the Observatory and the Queensmere. I mean, what town has two great shopping centres?
Well, there's no end of towns that have two great... Well, great. I mean, define great. Slough has a great shopping centre. Are you joking? Slough's hideous. No offence.
There's nothing wrong with Slough. I mean, Slough has some of the biggest roundabouts in the UK as well. The Brunel roundabout is one of the biggest roundabouts I can imagine. And
yeah, and Isambard Kingdom Brunel made it with his own hands, I bet.
But there's so many good selling points about any of these satellite towns, but I mean, particularly Slough.
Well, you said Clapham and Brixton, and then Slough.
Clapham has one of the biggest train stations in the whole of London, I believe. It's a big interchange. Brixton has Brixton Academy. Many famous bands play there.
Many famous people have been shot there, yeah.
But, Slough, not only is it a great place to be, but it's also got a big bingo hall that looks a little bit like Las Vegas sometimes at night.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I've driven through Slough on several occasions, and the only thing that's good about Slough is it's got the M4 near it, so you can make
a
quick getaway to somewhere nicer. Slough is awful. It's unredeemably appalling. There's nothing good about Slough.
About 2 weeks ago, they were talking about regenerating the town. They're going to put millions into Slough and regenerate it, and it's going to be the place to be, apparently.
Yeah. The place to be for, what, people who can't afford Hounslow?
Well, if you think about Slough, it's 20 minutes from central London, it's 5 minutes to the countryside, 60 minutes to Oxford, we're in a far better position than central London, really.
3 minutes from hell on earth. Yeah. Nice try, Charlie. No sale. All right.
Thanks, Nick.
Better luck next time. Oh, he was right, you know, about the friendly bombs and so on. Well, maybe bombs is going a bit too far. Perhaps we could green it over. Yeah, there's a nice thought to leave the hour on. This is LBC.
London's LBC 97.3.
Hello!
0870
9090 973.
Nick Abbott.
It's all about timing, and I press the button on cue, but the computer just thought about it, and thought about it, and thought about it, and then it played it. It had a little computer brain fart. Like that. The timing on that was perfect. Maybe just fell asleep during the news. During which we heard that, in the satellite TV awards show, or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey, I mean, only the Oscars is a worthwhile awards ceremony, am I right? Can we think of the one single one, other than that, that's worth the money?
BAFTAs?
No. Because that's just the Oscars light.
The Mobos?
The what?
The Mobos?
Yeah, right.
How
many
Brits.
People got shot this year? The Brits? No! None of that makes
the
any...
The Ivan Novello?
No, all rubbish. And the only reason that the Oscars is worth the money is because the people who win it can add £10 million to their fee for their next project. And it's the only one that anyone is actually genuinely interested in. All other award ceremonies are rubbish.
How do we win an Oscar, then?
Practice. How do you win an Oscar? Was that the front part of a joke? Or those?
No, genuinely.
Are you actually asking me?
Yeah, I want to add £10 million to my contract.
Well, you have to be in a film that's quite popular, but not massively popular, and that is basically a little more boring than the usual fare.
It's got to be a serious film.
Yeah.
American would be also helpful.
Yes.
Comedies never win Oscars.
Correct. Is that actually true?
I can't think of one that's been won by a comedy.
Mind you, I can't remember what won this year. No. Never mind about the history of the Oscars. So let's leave that there. Guess who won? You were out of our little studio during the course of the news. Did you hear who won? Best personality?
No, go on.
Well, have a guess. Have a wild stab in the dark. The television personality who was judged to be the most fabulous during the last year. Not because... Well, I'll give you a clue. Did you actually hear it? Or are you just winding me up?
No.
You didn't hear it?
No.
Do you mean that?
Yes.
You didn't hear the news, so you genuinely don't know?
No, because someone has turned down the speakers out there.
Right.
Jonathan Ross.
Huh?
Jonathan Ross?
Jonathan Ross. No. Good guess.
Okay.
No, someone who's even more newsworthy than that. And it's not that they got voted because they're fabulous. It's that they got voted because they had, massive clue coming up, a near-death experience.
Oh, that, yeah, I know. That Top Gear
Can you
gear
be more
bloke.
Specific?
That Top Gear bloke.
That Top Gear bloke is the correct answer. Yeah. The other one.
What, they gave him an award because he crashed?
I think that's exactly what happened, yeah. They gave him an award because he almost died, yeah. Because is he a fabulous television personality? Not really. He's just another one of those bland presenters. Like, he doesn't really bring that much to it. I mean, if you watch Top Gear, which I do every week, you watch it basically, let's be honest, for the fat bloke with wooden teeth.
Clarkson.
Jeremy Clarkson, exactly right. Because he writes most of it, and he's always the most amusing. The other two are just there because... Well, nobody really knows. They're
he
just
can
there
take
for
the mick
filler.
Out of them.
Yes, pretty much, yeah. Because it's like Last of the Summer Wine, but with cars.
I can't believe they gave him an award because he nearly died.
Well, that's not the stated reason that they gave him an award, but I'm saying that's why they gave him an award.
Wouldn't that be more interesting, though, to have the award for the person who nearly died this year goes to...
Richard Hammond. Anton Deck.
Yeah.
And Deal or No Deal, other award winners. Deal or No Deal. There's a quiz show that's not a show.
What do you mean it's not a show?
Well, what kind of a show is that? Open the box, that's how much you won, end of the programme. I just don't understand that show.
Because aren't you watching it to see people think that there's a method behind it?
There is no method behind it. They're guessing.
I know, but only you know that.
Everybody knows that. It's the silliest programme I've ever seen in my life. I cannot understand its success. I just don't get it.
The only people who don't know that are the people who actually play in it.
Well, I know there's some insane people who think that they might have a scheme, just in the same way that there are insane people who go to a casino and think that they have a scheme to win at roulette.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it comes up red three times in a row, then next time it's going to be black. It's statistically factual. Rubbish. Of course it's not. Every time the ball spins, it's just as likely to fall on any number, regardless of what has previously occurred, which makes that jovial bloke who calls the balls on the lottery show flat out silly. And here's number 19, and of course that's the second time that it's been the third ball in the last 12 weeks, and...
it's our most popular ball.
Yes, it's ridiculous. As though a past... behaviour has anything to do with future results. Of course not. Silly. It's completely random.
Hmm.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Deal or No Deal.
Oh, yeah.
There's a programme that's not even a programme. And it's a success the whole world over. And Mr. Lister was telling us that it's a hit in Canada, too. Yeah.
Have you watched a full episode?
Yes. With increasing bemusement. I don't understand it.
Why did you watch the whole episode?
For research purposes.
Yeah,
So I could deduct it as an expense on my tax.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
How's that working out for you?
I watched it because I thought, this is a giant success. I want to know why. And I suppose mostly it's because people like watching Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, but there's no show. There's no show there. I don't get it.
There's no real skills with that. Open a box, you've won $1 million, or you haven't.
Exactly. All quiz shows have some element of joiny-inny, some sort of audience participation. You can shout the answers at the screen, which is why The Millionaire Show is probably the most brilliant idea in the history of television. It couldn't be simpler. Start with questions that everyone can answer, no matter how stupid you are.
Hmm.
Although somebody did actually win nothing once, didn't they?
Yes.
They actually went away with a zero.
Yes.
Regardless of the fact that they had, with a question that it must have been as simple as, what is your name, they had the option of phoning a friend, or asking the audience, or going 50-50.
Oh, God.
So, that's the British state education system for you.
So you think we're watching Deal or No Deal just for Noel Edmonds?
My conclusion is that's the only reason that people watch it, because there's nothing to it. There's no questions, they don't have to do anything, they just have to say, right, well, you open that box, and you open that box, and then I'll have that box there. Well, that's not a show.
But isn't the whole hype is that these people can see inside the boxes, they have a feeling. They can sense that the 100,000 is in box 6.
But that's just moronic.
Well, yeah.
Maybe it's the most popular daytime show.
Because nothing else is on the other side.
Exactly.
Isn't Carol on the other side?
They're on the same side.
It's only successful because Carol's on the other side.
What?
Here's Wimbledon. Hello, Owen.
Yeah, hi, Nick. Maybe Michael Miles is on the other side.
Who's that?
Doesn't he open the box, or, you know, take the money or open the box?
That's ancient history, I'm afraid. I don't remember
that. It is pretty ancient. I was going to... until you mentioned the name Noel Edmonds, I thought Deal or No Deal was something to do with another variation of South Park or something. I've not seen it. But obviously it's one of these quiz games which you accurately describe as a very simple question which anybody can answer, and then right at the end you get some incredible question that is almost impossible to answer. Is that what you were going to say?
No, Owen, you obviously haven't seen this. There are no questions. There is no show. They're presented with a series of boxes. Inside the box is different amounts of money. They have to pick a box, and whatever's in the box, they win. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah, believe me. If you don't believe me, watch it tomorrow, and you will be aghast.
Oh, God, there has to be more.
There isn't. Believe me, there isn't. The only more of it is that Noel Edmonds is presenting it, so people must love him to such a giant degree that he alone has made that ridiculous format, which is you couldn't even call it a format, a success. I don't get it.
Well, I suppose you could just put it on and then have this. I suppose the people that would watch it would have their beer and their Cornish pasty. Or whatever it is, or the Big Mac, no, the Cornish pasty, those doorstops, which actually, if you drop one on your foot, you know, those Cornish pasties, you're likely to have to wind up in hospital with broken bones.
I've got shoes back from the 70s that look like Cornish pasties, but that's another matter. No, I think that most of the people that watch Deal or No Deal are in communal living rooms with rugs over their knees who were...
cans of Stella?
No, they haven't got cans of Stella. They may have a nice cup of tea brought round by the nurse once in a while, who has taken the remote, so they have no choice as to what they're watching.
Yes, and the eyes just glaze over. Yes, so it's what is it? Wednesday night glazing overnight. But this satellite thing, I found out about the satellite. This wonderful the thought that there's a satellite up there that's dedicated to you and your car, driving along, and it tells you to turn right at the end of the road or this, that, or the other. I mean, it's incredible. And then of course, and Red Ken is sitting up there as well, watching you. Is that right? Does the GLE or the GLC or whatever it is? No, that's gone now. But it's only a step. It's only a step further. I think, as you described,
the unstated aim. I firmly believe, and you can write this down and tell me I'm wrong in 5 years' time. But the unstated aim of putting a chip in your car in order to in order to charge you for road use. Is to track you from space and fine you for every little thing you do wrong. That's nobody's actually said that, but I bet that they have well worked out plans to do exactly that.
I reckon that's pretty close to the truth. That's very close to the truth. I mean, I just opened the post one morning and there was a bill. Pay 60 quid today or 120 tomorrow, or whatever it is, and it was for going through a red light. I didn't even know I'd gone through a red light.
Well, that's a bit worrying.
It was a long time ago, you know. And there you are. That's exactly that. The bills just dropped through the letterbox.
Well, how are you to know that you went through a red light, Owen? You were probably reading at the time.
I was looking at my sat-nav, trying to find my way. Trying to find my way away from St George's Hospital. But the public transport, I mean, it was all very well if you have a seat. If you're delayed, I mean, public transport is designed to make people go on to take their cars back onto the road.
It seems to be that way, yeah.
If you don't have a seat and there's a delay and it's the summer, it's just... I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, there's something to look forward to, and it's coming upon us, the summer is coming upon us ever more quickly, thanks to global warming.
Global warming. And there was one more thing just before I go.
Yeah, you have to be quick.
I'm
past
a break. Natural drugs aren't good. Opium is natural. Cocaine is natural. Muscarine is natural. Belladonna, LSD, they're all natural.
I don't think LSD is... I'll just pick that one out of that big long list.
Okay. Ergot. It goes on wheat.
Can I interest you in a mushroom omelette? Listen, Owen, I've really got to go, all right, but thanks a lot for that myriad of topics, whatever that call was about. This is LBC. Here's Travel with Nikki Selman.
Thank you very much.
London's LBC 97.3. 0870-90-90-973.
Everything is going extremely well.
I'll say. Marcus. Marcus is calling from Posh's Belgravia.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Nick. Look, the point of Deal or No Deal is that hopefully you're going to see some idiot win one pence. You know, that's the whole point, isn't it?
That's why people watch, in much the same way that people watch motor racing to see people crash.
Yeah, I mean, I guess any game show, you know, you make friends with a contestant or you set yourself against them. And usually most of the contestants on Deal or No Deal, you know, are usually fairly annoying.
and they, you know, believe all that stuff that they, you know, after all that believing in spiritually, you know, knowing what's inside the box, and then they walk away with it, one pence, that's surely the point, isn't it?
Are contestants encouraged to spout New Age guff about, I can sense what's in the box? Is that what they do?
Yeah, but I think, you know, Noel's into all that, you know, our cosmic ordering. And
yeah, he cosmically, it's fantastic, it must work, because he cosmically ordered a house in the south of France, and then simply went out and bought one, thereby making the order come true. Isn't that incredible?
I mean, you know, when you've got his money. Anyway, look, Nick.
Oh, I thought that was it didn't sound like a complete sentence. I thought you were going to say more.
Look, you know, yes. The last time, you know, you were calling into question whether or not, you know, I was a real doctor.
Really?
You know, I mean, I've been through this on other shows. I mean, ask John Holmes if I'm a real doctor. Ask Ian Lee if I'm a real doctor.
Well, I'm not questioning it. I don't even remember talking to you before. Why are you bringing this up?
Well, I can prove that.
What is the cause of that chip on your shoulder, Doctor?
Well, I can prove that I'm a real doctor.
Okay, prove away.
Right. Okay, I was unfortunately myself and my partner Kenneth, we were assaulted. All right, by someone. Now, a year later, right. Who do you think was lying on the operating table in front of me?
Noel Edmonds. Got that one wrong, didn't I?
No, Nick. The guy that assaulted me, yeah?
Right.
Now, right, okay.
When you say
now,
yeah like that, you don't sound like a doctor, but go on.
Look, so, what do you think happened? What would you do? Yeah, the person that's assaulted you, you run into them a year later in a vulnerable position.
Right, I would treat him. I would treat him to the best of my ability.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I did. In fact, I probably concentrated more.
And then accidentally cut his Peter off. Yeah.
So
assuming his name was Peter.
Do you believe I'm a doctor?
No. What's your hip bone connected to?
Right. Okay, I'm going to go, Nick.
Your shin bone's connected to your...
Goodbye, Nick.
Failed that test. Andy.
Good evening to you, Nick.
Hey, Andy.
It's a delight to speak to you again.
Okay, that's great.
You mean you don't remember? We spoke probably 47 years ago when you were on a station in a foreign country.
Yeah. No, I don't listen to this show. I don't remember anything I ever say to anyone.
It's all that kind of vacuous, is it? It just goes in and it's gone a minute later.
Well, you know, I just don't have a memory for this sort of stuff. I don't have a memory for the things that I do with my friends, let alone people that I briefly chat to while I'm at work. I'm sorry, it's no offence to the people that call up all the time and said, you know, when we spoke 3 weeks ago and I said this and I half finished a sentence, well, here's the rest of that sentence. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
I don't think that's fair because I quite clearly remember speaking to you, it would have been about 1984.
Yeah.
On a different radio station. But however, I don't believe that guy's a doctor. Didn't use the word splendid once in all the time he was on air there. And all doctors say splendid all the time. They're the only people that ever use that word.
Splendid?
Yeah, doctors always say, splendid, when you show them a particularly horrible infested wound.
Okay, well, it's a new one on me.
Oh, all of them do.
They normally ask for your BUPA number. That's the first thing they want to know. Yeah.
That's right. Anyway, listen, the reason I was actually calling, just to bring this to a point here, was Deal or No Deal. I think you're missing, you know, you're doing that show a disservice. Because you're missing a vital part of it.
Yeah.
In as much as, in order to win money on it, you don't actually have to know anything.
Correct.
You don't have to have any knowledge or intelligence.
No.
And that, I mean, that's quite unique. I mean...
Okay, well...
it's very clever. But, I mean, it's an hour long.
You don't have to have any knowledge of anything to get money on that show. So you could either go as a contestant on Deal or No Deal or be a talk show host. Those are the options available to you.
Mm. And I think, you see, the fact that it's an hour long and they very, very cleverly managed to... Like, if
it's
I were
not an hour long, is it?
I think it is, isn't it?
Is it an hour long? An hour?
Yeah. Well, it seemed like it.
They don't put that show on for an hour. You're kidding me.
I think it is, yeah.
Well, what if they said, I'll have that box there, and then that would be the end of the show?
See, that's not the way it works, is it? I think, you know, what happens is, basically, is you've got all these boxes, and you go through one by one and decide which ones you don't want, and the one that's left at the end is the one you get the money out of.
And it's an hour?
Yeah.
I'm stunned. Well, Noel Edmonds should get, whatever they're paying him, it's not enough. If he can get people to watch that for an hour, then he's a genius.
It's fantastic.
It's not fantastic, it's awful.
It's absolutely awful, but amazing that he can do it. You have to hand it to him.
Absolutely, yes, no question about it. A show that's not even a show gets an audience for an hour long. I'm stunned.
And they do absolutely nothing. He goes on the show, there's no questions, no intelligence. You do it for about 3 hours, don't you?
Yes. That's the key, though, is that there's no questions. There's no audience participation. There's nothing for the viewing audience to do. I mean, at least on this show, the listening audience can shout at the radio. They'll shout.
I actually don't understand why the contestant doesn't say, look, whatever about all the rest of those 19 boxes, I want that one, please.
Yeah. Show's over.
Yeah.
And then Noel can twiddle his little tidy beard for the next 59 minutes. Yeah.
Well, and he can chat up the contestants and go out on dates with them.
Yeah, I find that a little bit creepy.
It is a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dodgy.
Sort yourself out, Noel.
It's a delight talking to you, mate.
All right, cheers, Andy.
See ya.
Ta-ta. Let's have London Colney. Oh, Mandy.
Oh, Nick.
Mandy.
How are you doing?
Hey, is Jade still in India?
Well, she was the other day.
She was laying waste to large swathes
of
India.
By the way, do you know No-Deal is 45 minutes, not an hour?
Right. It just seems that long.
It's brilliant!
No,
I love it.
Not. Oh, come on.
No, I do. I've told you that before. But I know you don't remember anything.
But, okay, please try and help me understand.
Yeah.
There is no option for the audience to join in. I mean, even on, for instance, University Challenge, which I've watched 20 times, maybe, in full, I must have answered one question right and felt high, like somebody pumped me full of helium that I knew a question.
Yeah.
But that must be the case with most people who watch that programme, because no one is such a giant brain that they'll know most of those answers.
Yeah.
Apart from Jeremy Paxman, who, of course, has got them written in front of him.
Well, yeah.
And then abuses other people for not knowing what the answer is. God, I hate him. Anyway, but there's no option for an audience to join in. That's why I don't understand its popularity.
Because it's very watchable. It's very... Because people don't get the same boxes every day.
Oh, shut up, Mandy.
They don't.
What do you mean?
They pick a box at random before the show. So say you pick 22 today... Tomorrow you would pick box 15. And nobody knows what's in those boxes till they're opened.
Yeah, you're not selling it to me. It's just open the box, that's how much you've won, the end.
That whole
show could be wrapped up in about 10 seconds.
No, because the boxes have all got different amounts in them.
Oh, well, you should have mentioned that. Gosh, there's no end of excitement then.
There's a table to the right which takes that amount out. Nobody wants to be a member of the 1P Club and... There are questions. They're like, deal or no deal? That's the question.
Yes.
You don't like me tonight, do you?
It's not that I don't like you, Mandy. I love you. It's just that I just don't get deal or no deal. And there's no amount of explaining that you can do to persuade me otherwise. It's a silly show.
Watch it tomorrow.
I will not do that.
Why?
Because there's just no end of other programmes to watch. I'd rather watch bad episode of The Simpsons than Deal or No Deal.
What's wrong when Deal or No Deal's on? Nothing.
Well, I'd rather stare out the window at the raindrops falling down the pane.
No!
Rather than go through the pain of watching that show. I won't do it. I don't like Noel Edmonds enough to sit there and take it.
I like him.
I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Oh, God, you're not happy about it. He won an award.
Oh, well, an award, you say? Well, why didn't you say that in the first place?
0870 90 90 973.
You shouldn't do this, because it's crazy and dangerous.
You could have parked a bus in those gaps. What's going on there? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Ant and Dec. Of course, Ant and Dec won an award in this silly satellite award. Did you? Have you heard about this, Mandy?
Yeah.
You have?
Mm.
And what was it?
What they won it for?
No, what was the award? So, like, satellite television awards.
I haven't got a clue what it was for.
Some
what
rubbish
the awards
like that. Anyway, Richard Hammond was the best personality that almost died.
Yeah.
That's why they gave him an award. Not because he's fabulous or because he's, you know.
He's so short.
What's that going to do with anything? He's so short.
Or Jeremy Clarkson's so tall. I don't know which way round it is.
Well, that's no measure of a man.
No, I like Richard Hammond. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I like the programme.
We're
like
looking at 10 inches.
That's how short he is.
Yeah, I love Top Gear. I never miss it.
Yeah, me too. I complain about it every now and again, but...
Do you?
Yeah.
Did you watch, or do you watch ever, that programme called Sleep?
Sleep?
The people that have narcolepsy. When they just fall asleep.
No.
It was on tonight. Probably you were on air, actually. It was on at 7. People that sit round a boardroom table and just fall asleep. It's an illness.
Well, yeah, or just boredom.
No, it's called narcolepsy.
Narcolepsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
used to get that in history lessons.
Pardon?
Couldn't keep my eyes awake. So sleepy.
Well, I'll tell you something very funny in a minute about history lessons. But I watched it tonight and I got really panicky because I've got chronic fatigue syndrome.
What's that then?
What?
What's that then?
Always tired.
Always tired. Mm. Yeah, so have I. Yeah, everyone's got that. It's called living in London, Mandy.
Have you got chronic fatigue syndrome?
I must have, yeah. Totally exhausted all the time. You know, from my busy schedule and all, of getting up and having...
And making your porridge.
Yeah, having porridge and then watching TV for a couple of hours and then having second breakfast and then a little nap.
Well,
it must be chronically fatigued.
If I lay on my couch, that's it, I'm gone. I've got a really comfy couch, which is not clever, probably. I just fall asleep all the time.
Yeah, it's either chronic fatigue syndrome or it's that bottle of red wine that you drink per
night.
I don't
drink,
yeah.
You know that.
Well, like I said, yeah.
Let me just tell you something funny about history lessons.
I'll be the judge of whether it's funny.
It is. I went to this school in Smith Cottage and a little private school, which was awful. And I was about 14. And I hated history. I loved geography, I loved everything, but I hated history. And I don't know if you know Swiss Cottage very well.
No.
But they were always doing roadworks there, by the pub, Swiss Cottage. And my history teacher wrote on my report, Mandy's history is making as much progress as the roadworks on the Finchley Road.
Well, you could probably sue him for that, if he wrote that now.
He's probably dead now.
Oh, good.
But I couldn't believe that he could write it. My mum and dad shouted at me.
He's probably dead now. What, so you got your own back in the end? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he was quite an old man. And I'm going back. I was about 15. And I'm your age. He must be dead. And he was very overweight.
Right, well, so if he's not dead, you're going to, what, go back and take care of it?
No! I even remember his name, but I'm not going to say it.
No.
In case he's listening.
That's not, because he's not dead, yeah.
You know, but what a thing to write on the kids' report.
Well, it was forever could do better for me. I think they just write that, they had that in a rubber stamp and just put it on everyone's.
Yeah, but, you know, Mandy's history is making as much progress as the road works on the
Finchley
Road.
Well, sit up and pay attention, dear. Stop falling asleep at the back.
My parents went ape. I said to them, but you know I don't like history. I'm good at geography.
Yeah, they said,
stop whining.
Oh, timing. That was awful. Like, I just stumbled into that one, didn't I?
You're not having a good time there.
Stop whining, Mandy.
Your timing's not good with your
It's bit. Rubbish.
Why?
Oh, I'm all out of sorts.
Why? What's the matter?
Well, you know, it's not my show. It's not it's not my staff. It's not
you
my
miss Lucy.
Not my studio.
You've got Ian. No, not Ian. What's his name? Chris.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
You've got Chris.
Anyway, everything's going extremely well.
You
what are you talking
Lucy
about?
You missed Lucy and Oscar.
Huh?
You missed Lucy and Oscar.
Who's Oscar?
Lucy's dog.
Oh, right. You see, like I said, I never pay attention to this show.
You don't, do you? You're
no.
Bloody hopeless.
And on that note, I'll leave you. Thanks, Mandy.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Here's one in Bolton. Hello, Tam.
Hello.
Tam.
Hello, sorry, I put you on speakerphone because I was...
Take us off speakerphone, Tam.
Fed up with,
waiting.
Very long, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that Anton Deck won the satellite broadcasting prize or something.
Yeah, presumably because no one could think of anybody else that was on television. Oh, well, Anton Deck, they'll say. We'll shorten this. Just Anton say Anton Deck. Yeah.
It's funny you say that because I was ringing up about a quiz show idea that they came up with, and I think it's quite a success. That might have contributed to the award.
What's that?
Basically, they made an idea where if it's a normal quiz show, you have four contestants, and after each round of questions, the four contestants go into the middle of the studio and around a big table, and then they kind of diss talk each other.
And they what?
They brag about how well they did in the round and say, "Oh, I'm sure you did rubbish because you're not a doctor like me or whatever."
Right, your mother's so fat that one of those.
Yeah. Kind of like that. And then Ant goes, or Deck goes, right, you have 10 seconds. After 10 seconds, if none of you have declared that you got the lowest score, you have 10 seconds, you have a countdown, right? And in that 10 seconds, if one of the people out of the four thinks that they got the lowest score out of the four, they can pull out. And if they pull out before the 10 seconds have run out, then they get the money and they leave.
Right, I'm thinking of pulling out and I haven't even seen the show yet. Is this a format?
Yes.
Is this on television?
Yes.
This is on television?
Prime time.
What's it called?
I don't even know what the name is.
That thing that they do on Saturday night?
No, that's something like Saturday Night Takeaway or something.
No, some advert popped up on, what's that?
Poker Face.
Some advert popped up on something that had to do with cards on TV the other day, and they said, we're about to give away £1 million at the end of our series. And I'm thinking, I've never even heard of this thing. This is supposed to be a big deal, this show. I didn't even know it was on.
No, but the clever thing about this is that you can get every single question wrong and still win.
That's the clever thing about it.
Theoretically.
Right.
Because if there were five questions and you got two wrong.
And they came up with this.
And Anton Deck actually invented the show.
Invented this rubbish themselves, right.
And it's because they're so popular with the company, with ITV or whatever, they're going to get so many high ratings, they actually got the green light to go ahead with it.
Yeah, no one can believe it. Huh.
No. But it does seem a little bit, I don't know.
Crazy? Stupid?
Yeah, crazy. And
ironic?
After each round and the person has either thrown the towel in or. No one's thrown the towel in, and then somebody gets told that they got the lowest score and goes home with nothing. They have this kind of back studio thing where Deck talks to them about God knows what about the round and how they saw it. But it's just a bit. It's sad that we've come to the age where you can go to a quiz show and get every question wrong and win.
Still win, yeah. Well, just like, GCSEs.
Oh, I'm offended. Are you talking about GCSEs? GCSEs are completely different.
In what respect? That you can get every question wrong and still get an A? All you have to do is show up. Is that what you mean?
That's absolute load of dross, Nick. You know that. I know that.
What GCSEs have you just taken?
I took my GCSEs about 2 years ago now.
2 years ago? In which subjects? The following 50 subjects in which you got A's in all of them.
I got ten. I did ten. And I got
ten.
I did ten. You want to know the grades? Because I don't want to brag. But
A.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
We do A stars, so kind of like A star.
And English comprehension, was that one of them?
God,
because the way you just described that format, you could have been speaking Swahili and I'd have understood you as well. That was awful, Tam. You get a D.
You don't actually do a verbal. But that only compromises a small part of the overall grade.
All right, well, good job too, because otherwise you'd be a failure.
I'm not a talk show host. I'm not paid to be.
Really, you're supposed to be able to, if you get an A in English, you're supposed to be able to express yourself in that language. Hands up anyone who understood that format that he just explained. It's on TV. Even people who watched it wouldn't have recognised it.
It's difficult to explain.
That was rubbish, Tam. You're awful at this. No offence.
Wait a second, excuse me. You can come back in about 5 minutes, baby.
Yeah, okay, I'll come back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's my little sister who wants to play my PSP. No, but the thing is,
yeah.
Right, You oldies say that GCSEs are too easy.
Oldies?
They're not. Because, just because...
Why, I order.
Just because the average grade...
That's the first time in my life that anybody's called me an oldie.
That's because you've called me, dumb. You call me dumb.
Well, I haven't yet, but I'll get to that. I'll have a whole list of things I'll be calling you before I get to dumb. I'll send you an email, all right. Thanks a lot, Tam.
Bye, Nick.
Ta-ta. Here's one in, oldies. I've never been so offended in all my life. Here's one in Richmond. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, stay on LBC this time of night. I'm sure it will offend you. Anyway, we knew that Hammond was going to get an award at the Trick Awards, didn't we? He was going to get the sympathy vote. We knew that all along.
Trick Awards?
Trick Awards. It's TV, radio industry, something or other. You know the awards you're talking about.
There's radio in there as well.
Yeah.
Hey, what did I win?
Well, the weird thing is, right, on the TV side of it, you had separate categories for terrestrial and digital, and on the radio side of it, they were combined together.
Right.
So on the personality side, on the radio, almost every category consisted of Chris Boyles, Jonathan Ross, and Johnny Vaughan. Really weird.
All right, they stuck in someone who wasn't on the BBC. That's nice.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
So I didn't win anything. I'm stunned.
Yeah?
Me being, a famous TV personality and
well,
all.
Yeah, well, you know, but it depends who you're sucking up to. You're obviously just good at your job and you don't brown nose. He said sucking up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
right, okay.
Basically,
I'll
we're having
that.
To... That was Poker Face you were describing, or your... friend Tam was describing so badly.
Really? Because I was hearing a lot of words, but I was trying to put them into some sort of sense, but I failed.
Well, the weird thing was, I mean, I saw all the trailers for it, just saw all the adverts saying poker, and I assumed it was a poker game. So
yeah.
I'm like, well, I'm so not interested in that.
Exactly.
And literally, it got to the final, and I still didn't watch that, because I can't understand how we've... I mean, they talk about dumbing down television. We're having to create game shows where you don't have to have any intelligence to win. It is
yes.
Bizarre.
Like I said, like school exams these days. But there's a program that was on Saturday night, tabloid TV fodder, with Anton Deck in it, and I'd never heard of it at the point at which the series reached its conclusion.
That's right.
I'm stunned at that.
A million quid.
Yeah. Then the only point, the only thing I'd ever heard about that was that someone won £1 million.
That's right. But I mean, I don't even watch television. On Saturday night, is
you
either
don't
Channel 5.
Watch television.
Okay, fine. Tell me what there is to watch of any interest on a Saturday night.
On Well, you've got to you've got to tape things and watch them at your leisure. I never watch live TV anymore unless it's football.
Buzzcocks and stuff like that, which are, most of them are repeats because it's just absolute garbage. And as regards Deal or No Deal, I can't remember if it actually happened on the English series, but. There was a program, I mean, it's a phenomenon in every country. I don't understand because I've never watched it and refused to. But they did actually have an instance where somebody won the £250,000 in the first 10 minutes and they did not know what to do. And it ended up they had to say, well, I'll tell you what, pretend you didn't win it straight away. Let's play the rest of the game just for fun. What do you do if somebody's actually lucky enough? See, that's what you get when you have a game where you don't have to have any intelligence to win. You don't have to answer anything. It's purely chance. You're going to get the occasion where, purely by chance, you get the right box first time.
The only person who's ever won on that show is Noel Edmonds. But listen, Alan, I've got to go because I'm past the break.
No worries.
Thanks a lot anyway. All right. Cheers, mate. Ta-da. That is an interesting question, by the way. If somebody wins the major prize on the first box that they open, then what do they do? Well, I'll leave you with that thought for 1 second as we break to go to travel with Nikki Selman.
Thank you very much. Well, let's have some... London's LBC 97.3.
Come on, we're running late!
So, Trick. TV, radio, internet. I can't imagine what the C and the K is for. Maybe it's spelt funny. Anyway, so I didn't win anything. I'm stunned. Not a single thing.
Oh, did you enter?
You got to enter.
Oh.
So Richard Hammond won the best personality on TV, followed by Anton Deck, who won the best personality on TV.
Because they entered.
And Deal or No Deal, which was the TV programme with the best personality on TV or something.
What, no.
Must be.
Oh.
And Deal or No Deal won because it's the quiz of the moment.
Mm.
It's the, you know, the sale of the century, the quiz of the moment. Ant and Dec won because no one can think of anybody else who's on TV right now apart from Simon Cowell, and he's got all of the money that the Pope doesn't have, so they don't want to give him too many awards because it'll just feed his giant ego. And Richard Hammond won because he had a near-death experience. I recently had a near-death experience. Where's my award?
Oh. Did Terry Wogan get anything?
Bound to have done.
Oh. I read something.
He's a genius, by the way. How does he cope? He does a full 2-hour show every morning, and he must have only, what, 20 assistants working on the show? I mean, he turns up about 10 seconds before he goes on the air, and somebody gives him a ream of faxes and emails that listeners have sent in to him, which he reads verbatim, and then gets up out of his chair, and that's the show. And that's worth £800,000 a year and an award every second, yeah.
Did you... Guess what I read about him the other day, though? His fee for children in need.
Yeah, I read that, too.
Did you read that? It's incredible.
He's the only man who's on Children in Need that actually gets money for presenting it, yeah. And his response was, money? I don't know. Somebody has to bill them. So, anyway, and, so Richard Hammond won because he had a near-death experience by crashing a car. And in the newspapers today, the world's most fabulous car, a Bugatti Veyron. You're aware of what that is, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Chris?
No.
You don't know what a Bugatti Veyron is?
No. Should I?
Oh, please.
I'm not a blokey bloke, sorry.
Get with it, girlfriend. You're not a blokey bloke. You don't know cars. What? Do you watch Top Gear? It's the most ridiculous car in the whole wide world. It does a million miles a second and costs £850,000. That's right. And one crashed. And so they had pictures of it being loaded onto a lorry. To much hilarity all round. Because that's what we want, is to see somebody who has spent a gigantic amount come a cropper. That's what we're like in this country.
And the best part of it was he crashed into a Vauxhall Astra.
Who crashed it?
The name not released.
Mm.
Probably not a famous person, because famous people don't earn that kind of money. I bet he was a guy in the city.
Okay.
Here's Aid Who Can Get Laid.
Yeah, I know, Nick. Yeah, that Bugatti Veyron. You're talking about being, you probably not being famous. Cause,
it was a hideous colour combination, by the way. It's had something like red doors and either silver or a brownish body. It was awful. I mean, if you spent £850,000 on a car, you'd want to get it in a nice colour, wouldn't you?
I think you have to like be really in with somebody. Even if you've got £850,000 to spend, you can't just buy it. I mean, just like, and all of them like spoken for.
I really don't know. I haven't checked, Aid.
You watch Target, don't you? Take it if it is.
Yes, but I haven't gone as far as to check the availability of a car that costs almost £1 million. No. I don't work for the BBC.
Yeah, but you can always dream about that, though, can't you?
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll waste my time dreaming about it, yeah. No, as far as cars go, I dream that mine will start.
Is yours still running now?
Yeah, just about, yeah. Held together with gaffer tape and spit. And it starts occasionally, you know, when it likes.
Have you ever had the, I don't know if it's just me that's nervous about it, have you ever had to drive a courtesy car when yours is away, or?
No, but occasionally I hire a car, you know, when I'm moving things that don't fit in my microscopic auto, and I'm always nervous about that, because, they, you know, you go around and they check off little dents and scratches and things, and the last one I hired had no backlights, and the wing mirror was held on by duct tape.
Yeah.
It was almost undrivable, and it was a manual as well, and I just can't stand manuals.
What's a manual?
Oh, God. It's, are you going to tell me you're one of those people that you have to buy a manual because it gives you more control?
It's part of the experience.
Shut up, Adrian. It's not part of the experience. It's a nightmare. My left leg is now twice as large as my right one, just from depressing the clutch pedal,
which you have to do
every 10 seconds in London.
I'm hardly the physical specimen, I can't even say it. Try again. I'm hardly the physical specimen of fitness. My legs don't hurt.
It's just, I just don't know why anybody would want to drive a manual. Why would you want to do that? It's just so annoying. Anyway...
Because you can connect with the car.
Oh, shut up. Connect with the car. As you're crawling along at 5 miles an hour from one red light to the next. Yeah. Anyway, so you drive it and you take it back, but... In the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, well, they're going to manufacture a chip or a scratch or, you know, whatever. Because you leave it with them, and they'll say, right, you are, off with you. And then you get the bill later. So I haven't got the bill yet, so yeah. I probably bought that car.
Because this one, I don't like it. I mean, I had to drive a diesel. That's painful.
A diesel?
Yeah. It's like
that open top chick magnet sports car that you bought hoping to get some is a diesel.
No, mine's not a diesel. The courtesy car.
Oh, I see.
With a diesel,
right?
I mean, it's just so slow, and yeah, when you go around the corner, you feel like you're going to die easily.
Well, that's not a recommendation, is it?
But I mean, it's all about a scratching thing. I mean, mine, you press a little button in the. In the car to release the fuel caps. You have to fill them up with that before you tuck them back. But this one, it's like flat, and you have to get your fingers somehow down it, down the cap to get it open. And my hand slipped, and I scratched the filler cap. The courtesy car.
I couldn't get the filler cap off the little van. That was a white van. I could not figure out how to get it off. I was standing in the garage for must about 20 minutes, approximately the same time as it took to find the battery in the car that I've got, because the battery was flat. The car wouldn't start. It was one of those... And the man in the garage said, oh, well, we'll need to know what ampage it is. I've got no idea what that means. He said, it's written on the top of the battery. And so I went searching for it. 20 minutes later, I still hadn't found it. I've got no idea where it was. They hid it in the boot behind a panel. Why yeah, they would do that? Right. It's like behind a panel underneath the radio. Why would they hide it like that? Anyway, I felt like an idiot.
Yeah, they probably sort of did it with Jeremy Beadle in mind. Probably he's doing it.
Yeah, OK, well, that's something to think about. Thanks a lot, Aid, but I've got to go because I'm past the break, all right?
Yeah, OK, then.
Ta-ta.
All right.
This is LBC.
LBC 97.3. 0870 9090973. Nick Abbott.
Come on! We're running late!
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick.
Mike, how are you going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I was just ringing up about the Deal or No Deal.
Yes.
The concept behind the game is actually you either take the last box or you accept the offer from the banker halfway through the game. Mm. So you actually pick a box to start with, and then you're sort of like whittling the other boxes away...
But in a random, fashion, yes.
In a completely random fashion. And basically, the aim of the game is to try and get rid of the lowest numbers, obviously. So you're left with the high numbers.
Yeah, which you can't do by skill or any other method than completely randomly, yes.
Yep. And what happens is that the actual banker, depending on what boxes you lose, will then make you an offer... Say, for example, you've got four boxes left, five boxes left, and you've got high numbers, he will make you a high offer rather than winning the £250,000, because obviously he doesn't want to give that type of money away.
Is there such a person, or are they just making all that up?
Well, they're probably making it up. It's probably Noel Edmonds is not speaking to anybody at the end of the phone.
Is Noel Edmonds a banker? Think about it.
Oh, yeah, I'll think about that one very, very carefully. He could be a banker, yes.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Hands up who thinks Noel Edmonds is a banker. Hands up who doesn't think Noel Edmonds is a banker. Overwhelming, Mike. Thanks a lot, Mike. I got to go. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Ta-ta. Right, I'm Nick Abbott. Ian Lee is away for now until next Wednesday. He's off hanging out, as incredible as it sounds, with Posh and Bex themselves. He gets all the good jobs. Normally, you can find me on Saturday night between 10 and 1, or you can catch the podcasts on our service, which has changed to...
LBC Plus.
LBC Plus on our website, lbc.co.uk. Clive's next.